is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run!
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted! Tre Day! Tre'Davious White!
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there! McCoy cuts to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Friday, everybody. Welcome to Friday on the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are coming to you live from One Bills Drive from our One Buffalo studio. John Murphy and Donald Jones at the end of the week. Donald, are you excited about the end of the week?
What up, though? Yeah, I'm excited, man. Obviously, the Super Bowl is Sunday, so I think everybody's getting a little bit excited about the game and seeing what the outcome of the game is. I'm sure everybody down out in Minnesota is ridiculously excited right now and partying, and I'm sure there's a lot of alcohol involved and all of that stuff. I'm excited just because it's the end of the week, though. I feel like this week has gone by slow. I don't know why, but I feel like it's just – like, I remember thinking back, like, Tuesday. Man, it's only Tuesday, then Wednesday came, and I'm like, can Friday get here, please, soon?
I know why it's gone by slow. Because we haven't had enough to do. It's been
right.
On Steve Tasker.
Yeah, we've just been sitting here.
Sitting here watching Steve's show. I mean, nothing against Steve, but come on, man. We got work to do. Steve's going to be doing it again today, though, carrying the load, being the man out there in Minnesota, setting up in Radio Row at the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota, as we speak, doing a ton of interviews. And today we're going to hear from Doug Flutie with Steve Tasker. How about that?
Here's a question. You know a lot of people, obviously, throughout the NFL. If you were out there and not Steve, do you feel like you would be able to get the same people that he's got?
No.
I mean, people
not.
Just, they're like, oh, that's Steve Tasker. So, yeah, I'll do it for you, Steve.
Yeah, he's a presence, no question. Doug Flutie, Emmitt Smith, Hall of Famer, running back. He's going to be with Steve today. That's pretty good. Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. Kevin Harlan from the NFL on CBS with Steve. Who else did I see? Somebody else they talked to. Oh, Devin Hester.
Devin Hester.
Return specialist. How about that? One of the all-time coverage guys on special teams and talking to the all-time return man on special teams. Arguably.
Didn't he, when the Bears played the Colts in the Super Bowl, didn't he return like early in the game?
He might have. Yeah.
I feel like, was it like the first kickoff of the game or something like that? He returned it for touchdown. I know he returned one in that game. I can't remember exactly what it was, though.
Devin Hester with Steve Tasker. All of that coming up on the show. It is the Friday before the Super Bowl, and we are here live in Orchard Park talking to you about this game. And we want to know from you about this game, your expectations for the game. Two things on the telephone lines today, if you will. Give us a call at 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Number one, where are you watching the game? Who are you watching with? What are you going to eat? That's part of the attraction, right? It's a party.
Yeah.
It's the biggest party day in America every year.
Is it? Yeah.
I think so. What's bigger? I guess the holidays, Christmas maybe.
Every year they always talk about this is like the highest rated TV show on TV, and it goes up every year. It'll be interesting to see if it goes up or if it goes down this year, but I think people will watch it anyway. No matter who's playing, they're going to watch it.
Yeah,
so it'll probably it's the Super Bowl. It's a spectacle. People watch for the commercials, too.
Yeah.
Like I think my mom, she just likes to watch for the commercials. It's amazing because I played football my entire life since I was 6 years old. I retired when I was 25. My mother doesn't know a thing about the sport. She still likes certain teams because of the colors of their uniforms.
Okay.
She still watches the Super Bowl because of the commercials. So it's amazing.
Yeah,
and it's
I
played for so long. You know, you would think that you would actually pay a little more attention to the game. She's like, no, I'm okay.
For non-fans, the commercials are it, right?
Yeah. Last year's commercials weren't that.
I don't recall. I didn't watch any commercials.
You didn't?
I mean, I don't.
You get up and walk away?
I was watching it at a saloon in Fredericksburg, Texas.
Right. See,
the commercials were not on my radar. And that's fine. I can do without the commercials. Really?
Some of the commercials were fun. Last year, there weren't many funny commercials last year. It was a lot of socially aware type of commercials last year. Hopefully, we get some funny ones this year.
Yeah,
I watch the commercials.
So, where are you going to watch the game? What are you going to eat and drink during the game? What do you watch for? That sort of thing. Give us a call. Let us know. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. And on the game itself, want to know from you, who's going to win? How do you think this game will play out? Ring us up on that. That is our Twitter poll as well. As we approach Super Bowl 52, what do you expect the outcome of the Super Bowl to be? And on Twitter, we offer you a couple of suggestions. How do you think this game will play out? Do you think it'll be a big win for the Patriots? You think it'll be a close win for the Patriots? You think the Eagles win big in this game? Or do you think the Eagles win a close one? Right now, early returns from our Twitter poll, 40% of you say you think the Patriots are going to win a close one. 31% of you say you think the Eagles will win a close one. 18% say the Patriots will win big. 11% say the Eagles will win big. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. How's this game going to play out? Big Patriots win? Close Patriots win? Big Eagles win? Close Eagles win? What do you think? Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Where are you in terms of this Twitter poll, Donald?
I think I have to go with the and it's sad to say, and I know a lot of people, not just here in Western New York, but people nationally do not want to hear this. And you're probably going to get this all over national networks, ESPN, when they're doing the predictions. You're probably going to get a lot of people just saying the Patriots are going to win this game. The only ones that probably will think that the Eagles will win will be Eagles fans or people that have lived in that city or something like that. So I have to go with the Patriots in a close game, though. I think that the Eagles' defense is good enough to keep it close, but I think the Patriots pull it out.
I got to say that, too. I got to say Patriots in a close one. The Patriots, you know, have had a knack of pulling games out. You know, they've fallen behind a couple of times this year and rebounded and finished strong, won games. I think that's the way this will play out. I don't think the Eagles have, like, the juice to play with them. They might make a few plays. I think the Eagles' defense is going to be pretty solid. That front four is solid. Jim Schwartz does a nice job with that front four. But I think eventually the Patriots will wear them down with the passing game. They'll wear them down with the short passes to Amendola and James White coming out of the backfield, et cetera. And I'm looking for the Patriots to pull this one out. Maybe at the end, more likely just a fairly close game within, like, 6 points or so. And the Patriots go on and win the Super Bowl. It's not going to be a lot of fun for Bills fans to see that.
I don't think it's going to be fun for anybody. if you're not a Patriots fan, it's not going to be fun to see the Patriots win again. You know, we were talking about this earlier in the studio. It's like the UConn girls. You get tired of seeing them win, regardless of if you like women's basketball or not. You're like, they won again. That's pretty annoying in the Patriots right now, because they won so much in the past decade and a half. You get tired of seeing them win. I get tired of it. I want to see Tom Brady crying after the game for some reason because they lost. But I just don't see it happening in this game.
You know, somebody mentioned this to me, and the more I think about it, what in the big picture, if the Patriots win again, what difference does it make to their legacy? How much more pain can be inflicted on Buffalo Bills fans? I mean,
you think a lot of people just say whatever. Like, it is what it is. They win again, whatever. It'll come to an end soon because Tom Brady will retire.
Yeah, I really do.
You could be right.
Yeah. What do you expect the outcome of the Super Bowl to be? Talking about the Super Bowl and talking right now to our man at the Super Bowl, Steve Tasker, Bills Wall of Famer and longtime special teams ace here for the Buffalo Bills. Now with the NFL on CBS, he's been our special Super Bowl correspondent all week long, and he joins us live now from the Mall of America Radio Row in Bloomington, Minnesota. Steve, good afternoon. Thanks very much for joining us. How are you today?
Hey, guys, we're doing good. How are you guys getting along? I hear you're picking game already, picking Patriots to win. I hear you.
You hear it? Yeah, what do you think?
Hard to pick against them. It's hard to pick against them. You know it's going to be a close game. Nobody runs off and leaves those guys. I kind of tend to think you're probably right. I think it's going to be a close game, and they'll win. They're too tough to beat.
You know, at the Super Bowl, Steve, by this time, with people's attention focusing on Sunday's game, it does become like a pick'em thing, right? I mean, I'm sure the guys you've talked to today right there on Radio Row, many people are saying, what do you think of the game? How do you think it's going to play out? Can you detect a consensus among media there, like how they think this game might play out Sunday?
Not really. You lead up to the game, and you guys may have done this too. I do it every Super Bowl. I talk myself into both teams about six times. You know, I go back and forth. I swing back and forth. There's no doubt the Eagles are built to beat them. They spread the football around. They're tough to defend. I think the Eagles will score some points on them. You can say what you want about questioning whether Nick Foles can show up and play really well and keep it going like that. But the Eagles are here for a reason. You earn your way in. And if you're going to be here, you're going to have the guns to win it. But still, you're playing a team that just never makes any mistakes, even small mistakes. They just never seem to make it. And the ball never seems to bounce against them. The ticky-tack penalties always go in favor of the Patriots, and they always go in favor of the Patriots, and the ones that you think maybe are close non-calls go in favor of the Patriots. It's just one of those teams that is so well-coached and so into the details of their preparation, you really have to beat them to win the game. And I know that sounds crazy. Of course, you got to beat them to win the game, but you got to beat them for 60 minutes on every play. You got to get a couple of breaks, no question about it. The Patriots give you nothing. So you have to be very good and very disciplined to beat them, particularly in a game like this.
Steve, Murph and I were just talking. You probably heard it. We were just talking about if the Patriots win again, I mean, what difference does it make? Do you feel like a lot of people have that mindset? Do you have that mindset?
No, no, it makes a difference. I'm almost of the mind that we're living through a historic time. There's no question about it. The Patriots will not do this for another 20 years or another 17 years. This is going to be a run that's going to be unprecedented in the sport. Absolutely no question about it. I don't think it's going to be ever going to be another team through the course of one player's career where he goes to 8 Super Bowls over a 17-year period. I don't think there's ever going to be another coach who gets his team to that many Super Bowls, who overcomes so many problems that they've had. Tom Brady went down one year. They went 11-5 with a guy who nobody else could even get to win 6 games. I mean, nobody could get Matt Castle to play well after he left New England. They went 11-5 with him. You've never seen a team who loses their starting quarterback go with a 6th-round draft pick that nobody knows about and turn him into the greatest quarterback of all time. You never see a team do the things that the Patriots have done time and time again, year after year. And I think it's a historic era that we're living through. So I think for that matter, if they win, it's just a further stamp that, you know, unfortunately for Bills fans and people in Western New York, we're in that division and we've got a first front row seat to their greatness for a long time. And we've been the victims of it for a long time. In some way, that stinks, no question about it. We got a whole generation of Bills fans that were for 17 years, never got to taste the playoffs, largely because of the Patriots. I think it's something that I think more so than any other fan base other than the Patriots fan base, I think Bills fans, Jet fans, Miami fans have to appreciate the greatness that have been the Patriots more than anybody else.
Hey, Steve, on this game Sunday, do you think the Eagles recognize that you know, obviously they're the underdogs. They seem to thrive in the underdog role. But do you think the Eagles feel as if they have to make something special happen to win this game, like pull off a crazy play?
Well, I think that's a mistake, Murph. I really do. The Eagles don't have to do anything special to win this game. They are special because they're in this game. They've proven it through the course of 20 weeks. They are a special group of guys. They don't have to play special to win. They just need to be them. If the Eagles can play their game and not worry about the consequences, not think about the fact that they may lose a Super Bowl if they make a mistake, they've got to go out and play like they play. They don't have to be special. They don't have to play in a special way to win this game. They are special. That's why they're here. And if they play their game and stay within themselves and just play like there's no tomorrow, play loose and with confidence and the discipline that is part of them, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. The Eagles have no doubt and should have no doubt that they are in a position and they can win this game if they play their game. They don't have to play better than their game. They don't have to do something special. They don't have to snap off some unbelievable play like a helmet catch. They're good enough to beat the Patriots head up. They're more talented than the Patriots. It comes down to can they make fewer mistakes. And they don't have to be special to make no mistakes. They just have to be themselves.
Steve, I mean, that's easier said than done, right? I mean, when you're young as a kid playing football, you imagine yourself making that crazy special play in the Super Bowl. So you want to be the one that makes that special play. And you played in four of these things. So what was you guys' mindset going into each of those Super Bowls? Was it just be ourselves? Or do you feel like some of the guys on the team had that mentality, I got to make the big play?
I think we had some guys like that. I was probably one of them. I think one of the things that I learned probably from Super Bowl 27, when we lost by 35 points to the Dallas Cowboys, we were trying to do special things every play, and we ended up turning it over 9 times. You're trying to do something extra, and you leave the ball unprotected. You try to do something extra, and you don't look over your shoulder or check the pursuit angle from behind you, and the game gets away from you. I think in Super Bowl 25, we came out. We were a little bit hesitant to really cut it loose and play our game, and just to hand the football off and be patient. I think if you sit back and you calm your nerves and you just realize that if you just play your game and play it smart and disciplined, because smart and disciplined football teams get here in the first place. If you just be yourself, you're better off. And if you just play loose and don't worry about losing or consequences, or if you have a bad play, shrug it off. just keep moving forward. And I think that's the best way to play these games. You got to play like you're showing off for your mom on the front porch. And if you miss the pass, hey, you're going to get another chance because mom never gives up on you, you know. So that's I think that's the mentality you have to have.
So, you know, yeah, I hear what you're saying. But if so, are you saying you sit back and wait for the Patriots to make a mistake that will let you win the game? Because, as you point out, they don't make those kind of mistakes, New England.
No, I think you depend on you're a good team. You're more talented than the Patriots. You got here through a long, hard season. You played some tough games, and now you've kind of got it together, and now you've got your quarterback who's really zinging it after that NFC Championship game. You're very talented. The Patriots may do everything they can not to give you the big play, and I think the challenge may be for the Eagles to be patient and take the small gimme stuff and just to work it down the field and to stay patient. But I think the trick is to keep your antennae up and make sure that if an opportunity comes that you can take advantage of, you seize it. When the ball's tipped up in the air, you're the team that grabs it. You're the team that slaps the ball out and deflects the ball at the line of scrimmage. You're the team that knocks the ball loose. You're the team that catches a guy on a false step and can get to the passer with an inside rip move. You just got to let the big plays come to you. But when they do, you've got to be ready to seize them and never hold back in those situations. Those are when you really put your foot on the floor and take that opportunity and go. That's the hard part. I mean, yeah, and it is hard to get into that mentality because when you take the field in the Super Bowl, it's evident pretty quickly it's a different game.
Right.
And it's hard to stay disciplined and say, hey, we're going to be okay. You know, it's hard to step back and say, you know what, this is just a ball game once it's kicked. And sometimes that's hard to remember.
I can only imagine. I mean, I played in big games in my life, especially night games, and I don't think people understand the difference in playing during the daytime versus at night. When you play at night in a regular game, you just have that anxious feeling because you just want to get out there to the game, but you know it's not. You still got 5-6 hours until game time, and you're so used to playing during the day. These guys are they're probably not going to sleep on Saturday night, so they're going to be up all night.
Yeah.
They won't be able to really sleep on Sunday because they know the game is coming. You have that anxious feeling. So it's almost like, how do you keep when you get to the stadium, all of your emotions are on a high at that point. So how do you even keep everything in check just so that you don't mess anything up on the field?
Yeah, it's really difficult to keep it in check. I've told the story 100 times. I'm walking out on the field. We had a little – everybody has their pregame rituals. Part of my ritual was to walk out on the field an hour early with Jim Kelly, just the two of us. I was his lucky – I was his rabbit's foot. You know, he felt – you know, Jim was superstitious to a fault. So he had to do everything the same way every week. So his routine was he didn't want to walk out on the field by himself, so he always, you know, picked a guy that would walk with him every week, and it was me. So you walk out, Super Bowl 25, we walk out, and I remember there's a number of things that were weird happened on the way to the field. But when we walked out the field, let me tell you something. I tell people that I could have been blind and deaf and still known every person in the whole world was looking right at us. It was unbelievable the amount of eyeballs that you could feel looking at you when you walked out, especially me while I was walking with Jim. And everybody, you know, knew who Jim was. Jim was the Tom Brady of the day. It was something else. You could walk out there and say, it was wow. It was a wow moment. And the hair on the back of your neck stood up, and you felt like it was one of those things like, it's really crazy. You look at yourself like, am I naked? Why is everybody looking at me? It was really powerful. It was really powerful. And I'll never forget it. I've told Jim that 100 times. He agreed. He'll nod up and head. He'll agree with me. It was you walk out, you swing out of that tunnel and jog down the sidelines of the Super Bowl. It's different. And that is difficult for these players to adjust to just to play their game and just, you know, to back up and say, hey, I'm here. I'm okay. You know, because you don't feel okay.
Steve, I'm surprised to hear you say that. I mean, you're so humble all the time. I'm surprised that you didn't walk out there and say, oh, they're all looking at Jim, not me.
Yeah, well, listen, you feel it. It was weird. It was really weird. We walked out of usually you walk out of the tunnel of the NFL stadium. It's empty. There's some cops and some paramedics and cheerleaders and some security guys. There's like 7 people in the whole tunnel. And we walk out of Super Bowl 25, the thing's packed with kids in their halftime uniforms, like dressed like butterflies and rainbows. And I'm walking with Jim Kelly, and it's like his presence went out ahead of us like some sort of deity, you know, he's some sort of demigod where everybody could feel him coming. And I'll never forget it. It was like walking with the Pope. We were walking like in mass, you know, like you're walking down the aisle of the church and everybody's turning around looking at you like they could feel you coming. It was unbelievable. So I get it why these guys have a hard time saying, we earned our way here. You know, we're okay. It's hard to turn that off and think of it as just another game. But truth be told, it is. It's just another game, and you got to treat it like that.
Did that get any easier for you through the four Super Bowls, Steve?
Yeah, you can. Once you've seen it once, then it's a little easier. And every Super Bowl is different. Every Super Bowl is a little different. Every stadium is a little different. You know, we had that second Super Bowl was here in Minneapolis 26 years ago. This is Super Bowl 52. That one was Super Bowl 26. Seemed like a long time ago. But even that Super Bowl was different. The Super Bowl in Pasadena was different. The Atlanta Super Bowl, they're all very different because it's a different stadium, a different run-up to it, different facilities, different schedules for the media. All the media obligations are still there. But each Super Bowl is unique and of its own. And I don't remember the other three Super Bowls the way I remember that first one.
Steve Tasker on the line with us from Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota. As far as the injury list, Gronkowski is out of concussion protocol, as everybody expected, and it sounds like although he did meet with the media yesterday, he didn't have a whole lot to say about his issue with the knock to the head. Steve, I guess you expect that from Gronk, huh?
Right. Yeah, I think he's got his. He didn't play in the Super Bowl last time.
Right.
Remember, last year, and I think he's still kind of like, you know what? He is so afraid to say something wrong. All these players are really sensitive to bulletin board material and pulling off something like the Pittsburgh Steelers did against the Jacksonville Jaguars this year in the playoffs when the Steelers were looking forward to playing the Patriots in the playoffs and then looking past the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that motivated the Jaguars to beat them. I think everybody up here on both teams is really sensitive to saying all the respectful things and not saying anything else, and I think Gronkowski is really sensitive to that, being as how he didn't play last year, and he doesn't want to be the guy that is the jinx, you know, that does something that somebody blames him for losing. So, yeah, he's going to be very tight-lipped, particularly this late in the week.
And then you got the Eagles with looks like a bout of illness. A couple of guys, Timmy Jernigan and Ronald Darby, missing some, I don't know if they missed practice yesterday, but they missed media obligations because of illness that has gone through that team, huh?
I think that's a concern. You remember last time the Philadelphia Eagles played in the Super Bowl, Donovan McNabb had the stomach flu. He was puking in the huddle and stuff. He was sick. And, I think that's a rough thing. I mean, now the flu is one thing, no question about it. But, man, you don't want that to rifle it because you know what it's like, guys. In the locker room, you're kind of living in a Petri dish. If one guy gets it, it's like a preschool. If one kid gets it, all the rest of the kids are getting it. And that's what happens in an NFL locker room, particularly at the Super Bowl when they're all sequestered and they don't get to see anybody else. I mean, they're hunkered down trying to hang in there together and get through this and make sure they don't do anything to give a mistake. So the quarters are very close. So, yeah, I think that's a concern, a real concern for the Eagles. Now, I do know this. A couple of the guys who were sick early in the week feel great now. So it's not serious.
Right.
But by the same token, you don't want to get to Sunday and have six guys sick.
Right. Hey, Steve, what's the lineup? Who are you talking to out there today for us?
I don't know if we've heard of any of these guys. we got a guy, Doug Flutie.
Oh, yeah. Heard
Emmett Smith. Devin Hester. Kevin Harlan's stopping by. I know you're a big fan of Kevin Harlan. And then also NFL Network draft expert Daniel Jeremiah is going to drop by as well. So we got Flutie, Emmett Smith, Devin Hester, Kevin Harlan, and Daniel Jeremiah. All those guys are stopping by. We'll get those. And pretty good lineup.
Yeah.
It's been fun out here. It's been a lot of fun.
Good enough lineup for me and Donald to take the rest of the day off.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. Listen. You guys owe me. Let me tell you, you guys owe me big for hanging out here.
Yeah, we do.
I will expect a night out and a few pops when we get back. Jay Harris and I have been breaking rocks with a hammer out here.
All right.
Okay. You got it, Steve. Thanks.
Yeah, right. That's going to happen. I get it. You guys are unbelievable.
You're doing great work.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later, man.
Thanks. Thanks, Steve. Steve Tasker joining us from the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's at Radio Row, Mall of America. I know that feeling. He's been there, what, 4 days now? He's sick of that chair he's sitting in. Yeah. He's sitting there looking at that same view. He's sick of – he hates the people around him on Radio Row. You just hate him.
That same guy who was behind him who was eating a burrito.
Burrito the other day.
Yeah, he's behind him again.
You just hate the – after 4 days of sitting there, even though it's only – 3 hours, it just seems like an eternity. I lived that last year.
Yeah, we didn't sound believable at all when we said we did.
Yeah, we'll take care of you, Steve. Sure. Hey, our Twitter poll today deals with the Super Bowl and how do you think this game is going to play out. Why don't you join us on the phone lines at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let us know what you think. On Twitter, the question is, Super Bowl, how's this game going to play out? Is it going to be a blowout in favor of the New England Patriots? Do you see that in the offing here? Do you see the Patriots winning a close one? You see the Eagles winning big? Do you see the Eagles winning a close one? 40% say Patriots win close game. 34% say the Eagles win a close game. 18% say the Patriots win big, and 8% say the Eagles win big. Plus, we want to know, where are you watching the game? Who are you watching with? What are you eating? What are you drinking? Yeah, how are you going to enjoy this holiday?
Somebody pointed out to me in USA Today today, there's an article that says Americans will eat 1.35 billion wings during Super Bowl weekend.
Wow.
Will you have
That's
any
a
wings?
Couple of buckets. No, I won't. Will you?
No.
You know, wings are
I got away from meat,
here.
So I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So you don't need to wait till Super Bowl Sunday to have wings.
And you won't be here. So
I won't
mean,
be here.
When you travel out of Buffalo, it's like I'm not eating wings.
Oh, the farther, you know the rule. The farther away you get from Buffalo, the worse the wings get. I won't be eating any wings this Sunday. I'll find stuff to consume, but it won't be wings. Let's hear from you. What are you eating? What are you drinking? Where are you watching the game? Who are you watching with? How do you enjoy Super Bowl Sunday, the holiday? And how do you think the game's going to play out? Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And when we come back, it is Doug Flutie going to sit down with Steve Tasker at the Super Bowl. You remember Doug Flutie, right? Everybody remembers Doug Flutie. We'll hear from Doug Flutie with Steve Tasker when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back at One Bills Drive, John Murphy, Donald Jones here until 3 o'clock today. Steve Tasker reporting for us at the Super Bowl. It's been a quiet Super Bowl week, I feel, Donald, don't you? There haven't been any major news stories. Am I missing something? I mean, the biggest news of the week has been the Alex Smith trade, and that didn't happen in Minnesota this week.
Yeah, no.
Nothing really has happened.
Nothing coming
Bowl.
Out of there, out of Minnesota, no.
I think that's the way it should be. You know, let's have a game.
You like it to be like that. Yeah.
Let's do a game.
I hope it's a good game. I know we're talking about the outcome of the game and all that stuff. I just hope it's a good game.
Me too. I want a close game. I want the Eagles to win. I don't think it's going to happen, but I hope it's a competitive, close game. And we're going to get into some of the prop bets that are out there, some of the crazy things that people can bet on a little bit later on in the show. Doug Flutie, has a major chapter in Buffalo Bills history, the quarterback who revived the franchise back in the 1998 season. You would expect that Doug Flutie now, especially with his work as a college football analyst, would be prominently displayed at the Super Bowl, and he was and he is. And he joins Steve Tasker right now. Let's send it back out to Steve Tasker at the Super Bowl in Minnesota.
Thanks, Murph. I'm sitting here with former Buffalo Bill, former New England Patriot.
Chicago Bear.
Doug Flutie.
How are you,
Thanks
Steve?
For being here, man. It's great seeing you.
Oh, my pleasure. It's fun.
Yeah.
Running around Radio Row, it's like a class reunion all over the place.
It's like
it?
Old home week. Yeah,
it's fun.
It's amazing. You know, you do this for so long, you get to know everybody.
Yeah, it's running the guys you played with, played against, and then reconnecting with old friends. It's awesome.
Yeah, you're working now with Epson Printers and got some stuff going on off the field.
Yeah, I'm a small business owner. I have a restaurant. Right. I have the foundation. You have office needs, and you're always looking for ways to cut corners, save a buck here or there without sacrificing quality. To be able to do in-house printing, signage, posters, it just goes a long way for you. They have a new thing with Fast Photo where it scans photos in less than a second, front and back, which is the digital age now. My favorite thing to talk about, though, is an EcoTank system. You don't have to change a cartridge for 2 years. Go to a printer in an office, everybody runs out of ink, you avoid it, let somebody else change. It's a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
So you can go for up to 2 years without changing the cartridge.
So they're starting to fix all the problems we don't like.
Yeah, all the things
users,
we don't
right?
like. So that's just fun. So and it's
User
it's,
error is a real thing.
Oh, no doubt about it. So I use all Epson products in our
and
office.
All your businesses and stuff.
And basically a way to cut your bottom line a little bit.
What's the funnest thing about, and besides, I mean, what can they do? You're talking about signage stuff. You can print stuff like that in the office?
Oh, yeah, full-size printing, postage, signage, no doubt about it, yep.
I need to get one of those for my house, just for kicks. Like for holiday decorating. You know?
I've got
you
an industrial size printer at the house now.
You can make stuff up, right? Yeah, just for kicks.
Do everything. Do everything.
All right.
I'll show you my Batman poster in my garage that's printed up.
And it's you,
it's
right?
Huge.
It's you in a Batman outfit, right?
All right. We got to go there. I'm sorry. I'm restoring a 1966 Batmobile right now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to drive it. It's going to sit in the garage and look pretty.
Nice. Nice. Well, if you got an extra bay, use it, man.
There you go. Yeah.
Tell me about this week. I mean, you've played for the Patriots, and you played until you were 43 years old. And everybody's blowing their top over Tom being 40 and still playing at a high level. What's your take on how long he can play? You played 3 years past where he's playing.
Here's what I always say about that. I enjoyed grabbing a pizza on the way home or stopping at a McDonald's and popping in. I played till I was 43, and I had to be athletic and make people miss play the way I played. Tom's been a health nut since I've ever known him, since his mid-20s.
He doesn't eat pizza?
He's got his pill tray up there and his amino acids and his pre and post, and he's been meticulous for years. So that and the fact that all he needs is his arm to be in good shape and his head's obviously – he could play as long as he wants. I mean, he's gotten better and better. The question mark becomes the competitiveness. Do you keep that edge? Do you the will to prep and work Monday through Sunday? And, that's the hard part of the game.
Yeah, for me, that was, I retired. It's like you did. It got to the point where I also had to train around injuries and bumps and bruises. I can't do this exercise anymore. I can't lift hard and get a lot of benefits, so I got a lot to do it. 25 exercise to get the benefit of three that I could used to do before I was 35 years old.
You have to find new ways to work out without hurting yourself and dealing with old injuries. And for me, I was never a big lifter anyway, and I kept my lower body strong, my legs were strong, and I didn't touch much upper body. But Tom's gone to more flexibility type stuff and all that with his TB12 workouts and things he does, so he understands the flexibility end of it. And as long as that arm is in shape, he just stand there and deliver the football.
So I was talking to you before we came on the air, and I'm maybe one of the few people this actually excites, but you had a play. Actually, you told me, I didn't know this, it was the last play of your career, was a drop kick for an extra point in New England, correct?
Yep.
Was a drop kick. Nobody tries drop kicks. We always, we do it as kids.
We're messing around,
we do it messing around. Tell me the story behind the drop kick. It was the last play of your career, and I think that is phenomenal.
When I was in Toronto, Mike Vanerjack and I,
I used to
play together, and we would drop kick and have these little competitions. Then I was playing in Buffalo. He was in Indy. We would do it in pregame messing around. Well, Chris Berman saw us doing this in pregame messing around. Chris Berman went when I was in New England to do interviews.
Yeah, Boomer went to talk to Belichick about it.
And he went and talked to Belichick about it, told him, hey, Flutie can drop kick. Hasn't been done since 1941. You ought to do it.
See,
that's the thing.
People at home are listening. Nobody had tried to drop kick for like five decades.
It was 64 years.
64 years. So it had gone away, and it was forgotten. And then one day,
he brings it up to Belichick. Belichick brings it up to me. We decide to do it. And
How did you decide on the formation? Because I know you used kind of a punt formation.
They came to me with it. They said, how deep do you have to be to do this? And I said, well, I should kick it where we kick extra points. So I got to be about 13 yards deep when I catch the ball, two-step kick.
Right.
And so we were afraid of them rushing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had a formation where the receiver motioned out. We were in a double wing. I started in shotgun, and I drifted back to the depth to try to disguise the idea.
Yeah, you wanted them to get on their heels a little bit, stand up and say, okay, something messed up is going to happen.
So Miami actually calls a timeout. So I figured, okay, this served a purpose. I'm off the hook. They wasted a time. I go towards the sideline. Belichick, Brady, Bruschi, they're all waving me back. Like, we're going to kick this thing. So I got back in the huddle. They were like, these guys had won three Super Bowls already.
Right.
They were like kids in a candy store. They were fired up about it.
Yeah.
Big smiles on their face. And when we actually do it, they treated it like we just won the Super Bowl. High fives all over the place.
Well, I remember
all that.
It was cool. You rewind and watch it over again. It's truly a cool moment because it's very rare in our game that you do something unusual that hasn't been done and that kind
of
thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Because of the timeout, I thought we were done. Well,
it's perfect.
Lonnie Paxson comes back to the huddle. He's only 220. He's our long snapper.
Yeah.
He's going to get Trailer 320. He's like, Trailer's going to kick my ass. Da, 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 da. You know, Trailer's talking. I said, tell him what we're going to do. Relax. Just tell him. Because if they rush this thing, they're going to block it.
Right, right.
So all these little conversations are going on. For a Trailer ends up not lighting them up. Lonnie snaps it, steps past Trailer. Zach Thomas, middle linebacker. Zach steps up. sees Lonnie, looks at the ball go over his head. He goes, "What the f- was that?" He's like, "That's a drop kick, mother. Yeah, hadn't been done in 64 years."
Yeah. Zach Thomas is the perfect guy to do that against. Yeah. So tell me a little bit. What do you remember about your time in Buffalo? A lot of people remember the bootleg to beat Jacksonville, all of that stuff.
Just the first season, and getting the opportunity to play.
Yeah.
And validating to myself that I was right in coming back. When I went to Canada and played for 8 years, it rekindled my confidence. I called a lot of my own plays and had success. And I think when I came to Buffalo, I trusted my own opinion and ideas on things a lot more. And a great group of guys. We had an excellent defense at that time, a good solid O-line. Thurman was still playing. Andre was still playing. Bruce Smith was still playing. Just a lot of fun. It was like the weight of the world had been lifted off my shoulders, and I was just having fun playing football.
Yeah. It was a good group of guys. And, in fact, your first year there in Buffalo was my first year that I'd retired. And I was talking, we had Ryan Leaf in early in the week. He came in and spoke to us about, how he's gotten his life back on track and he's trying to give back. And it's a great story. But I did the game in your first game as a Bill in San Diego against Ryan Leaf and the San Diego Chargers. And what I told him and what I remember, all four quarterbacks played in that game. Ryan Leaf, you and Rob Johnson. And I can't even remember.
Who was backing him up, I don't remember.
He told me the other day, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay. But he got into for a series because Ryan had come out, got nicked or something, twisted an ankle. And I remember thinking that day you were the best quarterback on the field. And they had the number two pick in the draft, and Rob was making $25 million, right. you came in and gave the Bills a chance to win. And it was funny because in my first game as a broadcaster, all four quarterbacks played in the game, and you were the best one.
I remember stepping on the field, hitting Andre Reed on a double move for a touchdown, and I remember walking off the field thinking, okay, it's on. This is the same. It's just football. I remember walking away from – well, we had a chance at the end. We completed a couple balls, got down in field goal range. We ended up missing the field goal that would have won it. But I walked away from that game thinking to myself, okay, it's on. I can do this.
Yeah, you proved it to yourself. I mean, that's huge for a lot of guys. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was like third year in. When I got elected to my first Pro Bowl, it was the first time I kind of sat down in my own house and said, oh, my gosh. I mean, that was back when just the players and coaches voted. Yep. I can't believe anybody knows who I am.
No doubt.
Right?
No doubt.
It's a great moment.
It is a great moment. I made it to the Pro Bowl in 98, and I remember going in the locker room, and Bruce Smith was always in the inner circle, is finding out.
Yeah, yeah.
So Bruce knew early in the day or early the day, and Bruce told me that I was in, and I just remember giving a big hug and having that feeling.
It's a great feeling.
Of being in that elite by your peers, that's a big deal.
That is a very big deal. And I think that's one of the things that keeps a guy like Tom Brady going. I mean, it's a tough world to earn respect in. Forget the rest of the league, even your own locker room.
Right.
Tom comes in, he did it years and years ago when he took over for Drew Bledsoe, and he did it. You did it by playing 8 years, a career in Canada. How long?
I spent 5 years in the NFL, then went to Canada for eight.
And then came back.
And came back for another nine.
Yeah.
I was like, when I came back, I thought
that's unbelievable.
I thought I was going to retire. I was going to give it 2 years in Buffalo and retire.
Right.
But then things started going good, and another contract came up, and I was like, you just kept playing. Actually, it was another eight. And, it was three in Buffalo, four in San Diego, one finished up in New England. So it was 21 years total.
I'll tell you, I don't want to bring up any bad.
It was amazing.
I don't want to bring up any bad memories, but because it's a bad memory for all Bills fans. Mm. The only after I retired, you think back, and I got out at the right time. I had nothing more to give. I mean, and I know Wade would have given me another year had I wanted it. I was done. I was just done. But the only time I thought maybe one time I might have made a difference was in the Music City Miracle, because that would have been a play that I would have been on the field for. And I was at home watching. I go, don't
you got to feel it out? See what's going on.
You know what's
going
to happen. I go, don't go over there. I was talking to myself, and I go, in my house, I was
so much a part of that is you've been through it so many times.
Yeah.
You know the situation, and you anticipate things.
Right, and you see things when you don't. If you kick it to a fat guy, you don't have to worry about him going the distance. He's going to give it away, and then he handed it to another fat guy, Frank Wycheck. I go, you don't have to chase those guys. Look around for the guys that can go. So, And yep. I'll never forget that, you know, as you end your career, you know, you at 43, so many memories, and yet the one memory that I have after I retired was the one where maybe I'd have been.
Maybe you could have been. I milked it for that 40. When I went from San Diego to New England for one more year, I felt great at training camp, and I felt great. And as the season went on and you practiced every day and the knees started bothering you a little bit and the back was getting tight, I could have played some that year. If I had had to start and play a couple of games in a row, I might have been in trouble. Yeah. I got that. It was time for me. Actually, right. I had back surgery a couple of years later. Mm-hmm. I felt healthier after. I wish I had done something while I was playing. I might have even been healthy through the time
right.
period.
Yeah. Doug Flutie, Heisman Trophy winner, former Buffalo Bill, New England, great career, retired, played football. He was 43 as a quarterback. Can't say enough about it, man. Thanks for coming on with Epson.com. Thanks for being here.
Appreciate it.
Now we'll go back to you guys. Thanks.
Okay. Steve Tasker with Doug Flutie. Do you ever hear guys talk more in depth about a drop kick than those two?
No.
Just
no. You never will.
You never will.
Again.
Amazing. Amazing. They got 10 minutes out of
the drop kick. Yeah.
good stuff from Steve Tasker. All right. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to be back here at One Bills Drive, talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl. Love to hear from you on the telephone line. What do you think? As far as this Super Bowl game, who do you like? Who do you want to win? And how do you think the game will play out? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. We are dealing with Steve Tasker, who's killing it out of Radio Row in Minnesota today, isn't he? He's unbelievable. He's got a great lineup of guests out there.
He's got a great lineup. I mean, I guess we really do owe him something. We should take him out when he comes back.
Okay.
When you get back, whenever that is.
We're all back together.
It seems like it's going to be a long time.
I'll be gone next week and back the following Monday, so it's not that long.
It's not that long.
February 12th.
I won't be here that Monday.
Where are you going?
I'm actually going home. I got to handle some things at home.
Handle some things at home.
I mean, you know, everybody cryptic. Knows the situation, so I got to go and work some things out. Yeah.
Okay. So it'll be a while before we all get back, but we do. We do owe Steve because, he is getting paid. But he's done a great job out there, just killing it with guests. He's got Devin Hester coming up. He's got Emmett Smith coming up in a couple of minutes. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com. Kevin Harlan from the NFL on CBS. And our old buddy Lejay Doosable, who played this
do's
past year for
don'ts.
The 49ers. Lejay Doosable is out there at the Super Bowl doing do's and don'ts. And he'll talk to Steve.
I didn't know he was with the Niners this year.
Yeah, I kind of picked up on that. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah,
good guy.
It is good for him. And he sounds like he had a good year.
Yeah. I'm sure that he's looking forward to another couple of years with them. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl Sunday, want to hear from you. Who do you want to win? Who do you think's going to win? And how are you going to spend the day? Interesting people, I think it's pretty obvious, Donald, people love to bet on the Super Bowl, bet on the outcome, bet on the point spread. People buy squares. They also have these crazy prop bets, crazy prop bets that are up there. I want to go through some of these with you, and we'll start right at the beginning. The length of the national anthem. Pink is singing the national anthem. How long do you think it will be? Over or under? 1 minute and 58 seconds. Over, under, I say over.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over because, first of all, I'm not sure the last song that she put out or if she's even really, really relevant right now. So she might be trying to become relevant again through the national anthem. And we all know, you're on that stage and there's millions of people watching. These singers typically will start to, they start to ad lib and do their own things and go on and on. So,
But they are limited. I mean, they probably tell them under no circumstances can you go over this length.
Yeah, I wonder what that length is.
Probably 2 minutes. So I say it's going to be a little bit over the prop bet number of 1 minute, 58 seconds. Halftime, Justin Timberlake. Yes or no question. He enters by zip line, car, motorcycle, jetpack, or parachute. Yes or no. I would say yes, there's going to be some alternate form of transportation to get him in there, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, he's gonna drop down from the top of the stadium somehow, so I'm going to go yes.
Okay. Justin Timberlake sings at least part of any Prince song.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hope so. I'm going to go yes on that one. He better in Minnesota. What? Yeah, you have to.
Has to. Commercials. These are good, too. Yes or no? First ad in first quarter includes an animal? Yes or no?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I mean, so many companies have done that now. It's
first ad in third quarter is for a car company.
I say no. I think the first ad is going to be either Doritos or beer.
Okay. Speaking of beer, commercials. The word dilly said over 12 times in Bud Light ads. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
There might be three different Bud Light commercials, all of them saying dilly dilly.
So stupid.
Multiple times.
So stupid.
It's crazy how it caught on. My son said
it. Did it catch
on,
or did they force feed it down your
throat?
They did. Nobody. People only say it because they think it's cool. It's not cool to say dilly dilly.
Dilly, yeah.
It's not.
It's going to say, it's. I mean, they're going to force it down our throats this
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sunday.
And hopefully that's the end of it. Just as you have to force Bud Light down your throat most of the time, too. The color of liquid dumped on the head coach at the end of the game, Gatorade. What color will it be? Clear, yellow, orange, red, green, blue, or purple? I'm going blue.
I think it depends on who wins the game.
Okay.
Patriots win blue, Eagles win green.
Okay. It doesn't matter, right, taste-wise?
No. No.
Prop bets for the Super Bowl. There are a couple of more that we'll get to as the afternoon rolls along. Is betting part of, of your Super Bowl experience? You buy squares? Me neither.
No, I don't. I read somewhere that it's like people are going to bet over $4 billion on this game this year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think there's a multi-million dollar bet already placed as well. I saw that somewhere.
One of these stupid prop bets or on the game itself?
On the game itself.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, yeah, no, it's not. I don't really get involved with the – I don't bet. I'm not a gambling person, number one, but especially on something I can't control.
Right, right. Yeah. Prop bets for the Super Bowl. We'll talk more about that. Going to head back to Steve Tasker after the top of the hour. Emmett Smith, perhaps you've heard of him, a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Going to join Steve when we return. So come on back. Hour two coming up. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive, where it is Super Bowl weekend coming up, and all the attention is focused on Minnesota and Sunday's 6:30 kickoff between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots. A couple of Eagles players under the weather this week as Super Bowl gets set to kick off. Philadelphia Eagles tackle Timmy Jernigan and cornerback Ronald Darby missed media sessions yesterday because of illnesses. Jernigan missed his second consecutive practice session. Backup running back Kenyon Barner and coach Doug Peterson also under the weather as well. Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski has been cleared from the concussion protocol, the injury he suffered in the AFC Championship game a couple of Sundays ago. He is good to go for Super Bowl 52. The NFL Players Association and the NFL have 3 years left in their collective bargaining agreement. Already, the players are digging in. NFL Players Association Executive Director Demoris Smith said, "We prepare for war." Speaking at his annual news conference, he said, "If we're able to get a collective agreement done, that's great. But all of these men went through a unilateral declared war in 2010 and 2011, and they are ready to do it again." Buffalo Sabres lost last night at home, a 4-2 loss to the Florida Panthers. They return to the ice today for practice. The Sabres back in action tomorrow night against the St. Louis Blues, 7 o'clock faceoff at KeyBank Center as the Buffalo homestand continues. The Sabres, Ryan O'Reilly, had a goal and an assist last night, now with 10 points in his last 10 home games. College basketball, a couple of teams in action tonight. Canisius on the road at Marist College at Poughkeepsie. The Griffs are 13-9. They tip off at 7 o'clock. Niagara plays at St. Peter's tonight as well. And from the NBA, Cavaliers forward Kevin Love will not need surgery on his fractured left hand, but he will miss about 8 weeks, according to the team. He suffered a non-displaced fracture in the first quarter of the Cavaliers' loss to the Detroit Pistons on Tuesday. Instead of surgery, Love will undergo rehab to repair the injury. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Donald Jones here in our One Buffalo studio. Steve Tasker standing by out there in Minnesota, the site of the Super Bowl. I think Steve's having fun, right? He indicated that, but he also sounds like he's wearing down a little bit.
He's been doing a lot. He's been doing a lot of interviews. He's really been carrying the show all week, the whole 3 hours. I mean, we just chime in every now and then and say something. So he's probably, something, whatever it is. We talk about a bunch of nothing, but so he's probably wearing down, but I'm sure he's having fun at night. with a lot of his boys and people that he knows throughout the league, media, former players, et cetera, et cetera. So he's all right.
Our Twitter poll deals with the Super Bowl. How do you think this game will play out? Got a couple of tweets in response to our question when we ask, you know, how this game is going to work and how do you think it'll wind up on Twitter. Most of you believe that the New England Patriots are going to win a close one, 40%. 34% say the Eagles will win a close one. 18% say the Patriots will win big. 8% say the Eagles will win big. Scott Polichet tweets in, the Patriots, no reason to count them out until the clock is at zeros at the end of the game. I agree. I would not give, you know, as long as they're within striking distance.
Yeah.
Hard to believe that they won't be on top when the whole thing is done.
I mean, it's so hard because, and what is striking distance when you're talking about the Patriots? That's always a question. Teams will go up 21 points, and then they slowly but surely come back, you know, and you would think, man, they're up 21. This game is over. But then they score at halftime, and then they get the ball back, and they, you know, they kick a field goal or something like that. Next thing you know, they're only down 14 points, and you're like, uh-oh, here we go. So I don't even know what
– I don't know when it is.
When that is, yeah.
Interesting tweet from Shaunzy1313. Not watching the Super Bowl this year. Didn't watch last year. And was happy not to see the Patriots win. Won't be victim to the continuous love fest this year either. Ignorance is bliss.
Man.
Madden Bowl 2018. Injuries up and take out Tom.
Some people are angry.
That's really angry.
Yes.
Did the Patriots bother you that much that you won't watch the game? Ignorance is bliss, I guess.
Sheesh. Some angry people out here.
Brian Cook, hot take, Patriots will be aided by a game-altering controversial penalty replay challenge. Final score, Eagles 27, Patriots 24, refs 10, Patriots win.
That was a lot. But we can. I don't know if that's in one of these prop bets, but there will be, let's make it one, there will be a lengthy replay review in this game.
Absolutely. And it'll go wrong.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I dread that. That might be the point. Maybe I'll join that guy who doesn't watch the game at that point.
You'd be down in Florida. You know what? I'm done. I'm going outside.
Yeah, that's enough of this. Warm. Yeah. Super Bowl coming up Sunday, 6:30 kickoff. Steve Tasker covering for us in Minnesota at the Super Bowl. And he sat down today with a very strong guest, Emmitt Smith, Pro Football Hall of Famer, with Steve Tasker. Let's send it out to Minnesota. Steve, take it away.
Thanks, Murph. I'm sitting here with Hall of Fame running back Emmitt Smith, and I have trouble spitting that out of Super Bowl time since you killed us in two Super Bowls. Nevertheless, glad to see you.
I'm glad to be here, bro. How you doing?
I'm doing better than I deserve. I'm happy
both.
To see you.
Yeah,
yeah. I got to ask you, though, first thing, because, you know, everybody wears these. Is that Hall of Fame jacket like a credential everywhere you go? Really need a credential?
It is almost like a hall pass.
Right?
Yeah. It's like I ain't going to say get out of jail free card, but it's an entryway pass. You get to walk around with the jacket.
People don't even – I mean, they bother you because they recognize the jacket, but they don't stop you at the gate. That's for sure, right?
Well, they see the jacket, they recognize it, and then all of a sudden they say, okay, this person – all right.
He don't need a little tag.
I have to get a tag, though.
Do
just,
you?
Just in case.
Just
I run,
a Super Bowl.
Just in case I run into that one person or, you know, somebody that's a stickler for the job. And like,
you
okay.
Can put the tag in your pocket, though, right? I mean, you don't have to have that thing hanging. Not like me. See, if I don't have this on at all times, I get tossed over the rail.
Well, I understand how it works.
You're here. Who are you working with?
I'm working with Hager Dad. They have a
Dads? Hall of Fame Dads.
Hall of Fame Dads. And Hager and I have teamed up. To talk about dads and people who have been great influencers in our lives you know, just mentors and father figures.
Listen, football players are the best. We got people all through our past that have kind of kept you on the straight and narrow.
Yes.
And slapped you back in the line.
Exactly.
And shepherded you along.
Exactly.
Said something to you
that got you.
Right. Tell us about, tell us about a couple of those guys in your past.
You know, first of all, the foundation of who I am and what I became, obviously, began at my household, but along the way, as you just mentioned, we as football players, we come across great coaches and great teachers and so forth that helped shepherd us along the way. And one of those guys for me was my Pop Warner coach, Charlie Egger, who taught me how to read blueprints and floor plans at a very young age. And then I ran into Dwight Thomas, my high school coach, and Jimmy Nichols, and then on and on.
I got to tell you, and there's a lot of people out there, and I guess rightfully so, that you know, youth football has come under fire because it's a little bit risky. The physical aspect of it is scary to moms and dads and parents. But you and I sit here as professional athletes who have been very blessed by the game and very gifted by the game. And even now, we look back, and myself included, look back to our first coaches as children.
Yes.
you look back to the men who were on the sidelines when the helmet barely fit.
Yes.
And the equipment was too heavy to lift. And, we, you know, you couldn't hardly run right because the pants felt funny with the pads in. Even then, you think back so far, even today, you think back to the foundational things you learned when you were 6, 7, 8, 9 years old of those guys.
I mean, it sticks with you today. It does. And you know, we was talking about the Hall of Fame jacket when I walked in, but even doing my Hall of Fame speech and having the opportunity to go into the Hall of Fame, when I was able to reflect back to the beginning of my football years, I went back to the youth. I went back to my friends. I went back to the foundation in which I stand upon and the folks who helped pour into me and shape me into the man that I became. And a lot of that has to do with coaches, teachers, other father figures around in the neighborhood, et cetera, people that helped keep me on the straight and narrow, if you will.
It's perfect combination. And HagerHallOfFameDad.com, and it's Hager, HOFDad.com.
Exactly.
It's a perfect fit for you. Congratulations. Well, that's great. It's great to see.
Thank you, bro. And, you know, as a father now I'm a father.
Listen, I'm a grandpa.
You're a grandfather.
Yeah, twice over.
Twice over?
Twice over.
Congratulations.
Oh, it's great. You'll get there. Wait till it happens.
I'm telling my kids, don't rush it. My oldest right now is 22 years old.
Yeah, his time.
Yeah, she's a senior.
Wait till they're ready.
Yeah. Let's talk about when and how you want to get. Yeah, let's.
I got an early start, but yeah, it's great. That's awesome, man. You'll love it when it happens.
Boys or girls?
One of each.
Okay,
yeah,
awesome.
One of each. Yeah. So, it's a great combination. It's great to see it. Now, the Hall of Fame dad. Now you're a Hall of Fame football player, and you're hanging around football, you know, football weekend in America here at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. What do you think about these guys? I mean, you played a handful of these.
I see these teams. Both of these teams, obviously, Tom Brady is a phenomenal, phenomenal quarterback. He is the best, in my opinion.
He's where the conversation starts, no question. You can argue somebody else, Peyton Manning or Elway or Troy or whatever. Jim.
You have 5 rings,
and
you played in 8 Super Bowls.
He got 7 rings. 2 of them are second place.
Well, he got 5 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, he got 5 championships.
Yeah, he got 5 championships. And so – and – been to 8 Super Bowls.
That's unbelievable.
There isn't a quarterback on the planet that can say that they've been to 8 Super Bowls. But him.
It's not even close.
Not even close. And so to do that and be the starting quarterback and probably the MVP in a number of those himself, I mean, he's the best.
Okay, I tell people this all the time and I don't talk about this. You went through that incredible run in Dallas. You had a Hall of Fame career. And I'll bring this up for a reason. Played 1 year in Arizona.
Yes, 2.
Right, okay. Thurman Thomas played a year in Miami.
Right.
Bruce Smith played a few years in Washington. It rarely ends well for the great ones. It takes something special for you to step away from the team that you had your set, because you always feel like you can play, because obstacles are what you're born to overcome.
When it
gets to the end of your career and it's just one more obstacle.
Yes.
I want to keep playing, and then, well, we got this other guy we want. You know, why is that? Tell me what your take is on that. I mean, it's hard to have it end well.
It is hard to have it end well, but you have to have closure. And that closure happens when you go on to see if you really have it in you. What you realize and come to realize is how much your love for the organization that you play majority of your career with is wrapped up into your destiny. Especially for me, I was playing for the team that I always wanted to play for.
Yeah.
And so having it end in 02 and having the opportunity to go to Arizona kind of solidified it for me, like, okay, the game has passed me by. There isn't anything else I can do.
It made it easy for you to.
It made it a lot easier for me to just say, okay, enough is enough. It's time for me to leave.
I think that's the thing that you hear so many, and when I first came in the league and you hear the old guys, but when I was a young player and the old guys, a lot of them were bitter about how, but only, not about the career, but how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
Either they got cut by a coach they didn't like,
right,
or they got an injury and they weren't able to come back and they never got to go out on their own terms. They're never bitter about their career, only about how it ended.
Because it doesn't always end well.
Yeah.
It doesn't always end well for everybody. And so everybody cannot win a Super Bowl and ride off into the sunset.
That's right.
Like John Elway did.
Sure.
Everybody cannot do those things.
Peyton
Manning did. And so for me, mine's ended just like I started. I rushed for 936 or 37. I ended with 936 and 37. Yeah. So I'm pretty pleased at that.
That's
even though
cool,
I did it with 2 different teams. So 2 bookends, 2 areas that I enjoyed and love being in, the cities that I enjoy being in. So it was cool, kind of cool for me. And I look for the the subtle moments where there's a little, okay, yeah, that's a good moment for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you take those good moments and you just cherish those moments.
Yeah.
Everything else that you keep your eyes on might not be real for you.
Yeah.
It's just a distraction.
Yeah.
You got to find the nuggets in all those good process moments, and that's part of the process.
If you don't know, we're talking to Emmett Smith. If there's somebody out there who doesn't recognize his face on the simulcast, and of course his voice, you may not recognize, but tell me about this. Now, we talk about how it ends for everybody. Tom Brady, the GOAT, is 40 years old,
right,
playing in his eighth Super Bowl. He's won five. I mean, he's going for his sixth one. And they're starting to show some things with the article in Sports Illustrated about Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft and Tom, and a little bit of tension between them. Do you see that on the horizon as a rough breakup at some point? I mean, I would say, wow, I don't know. Those guys seem to have it together. Like, they'll probably find a way to end it properly, but I don't know.
But think about it. It's been 16 years.
Yeah.
16 years of pure greatness. There hasn't been an organization in the last 16 years that have held it together as well as the New England Patriots.
It's unbelievable.
It's truly unbelievable. It's remarkable. And not to mention holding it together, but a high-performance organization that has performed the way that they have.
Well, it's
have.
Not like they had too many rough spots to get through.
No, I mean, Tom got hurt. They overcame that piece. And yet, coaches came, coaches left. They overcame that piece.
Coordinators, yeah.
Players came, players left and went.
Great players.
They held that all that together. So how can you not expect something at some point to get a little riffy, a little rough?
Right.
Especially when you see the twilight of one of your key components getting at the end of it. And so it can be stressful for Mr. Kraft trying to figure out how I'm going to replace this and keep this high-performance organization the way it is.
Yeah.
It can be stressful on Belichick saying, man, I've had enough of trying to hold all this stuff together for 16 years or however many years there is. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm ready to retire now.
Right.
There's no other place for me to go but now.
Yeah.
So it's a little stressful on everybody. And people have the tendency to overlook those things and want to go straight to the issue and say, oh, it's not going to end well. Well, it might not end well. But look at what they've done.
Yeah.
Let's credit them for what they've done.
Yeah.
And so it's stress on everybody trying to figure out how do you continue this thing to move on.
The end, I think, for these three guys is more about the relationships and how those end. It's not about the wins and losses anymore after it's done. I mean, they've played at a high level. They've coached at a high level. Mr. Kraft has really, you know, you look at the common denominator for all of it. He's been the guy that has come in and smoothed over the rough edges and made sure everybody was taken care of. He goes the extra mile as an owner. Just like the guy, you know, you played for, Jerry. I think when it comes down to it, you talk about guys who've played and worked and done that high-level thing for 16, 17 years. It's about the personal relationships.
It is. And, you know, they would probably rather break apart than to destroy the relationships.
Yeah.
And that might be the right thing to do at this time.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, for 16 years they've held it together. And instead of seeing it get that bad, take this last win or whatever happens this weekend, celebrate this moment, and figure out what you're going to do next. Because next is coming. It's around the corner for all of them.
All right, pick a winner.
I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Eagles are built tough internally, interiorly, as well as they got the guys out there in the secondary that can cover guys and run. They run very well defensively. They get turnovers. They put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They do stop the run. They have a lot of things that are very much needed in a game like this, especially when you're going up against a guy like Tom Brady. But then I like the offense, too, because they're balanced. They can run the ball effectively with LeGarrette Blount as well as Ajayi. They throw the ball pretty efficiently.
They spread it around.
And they spread it around.
Yeah.
And so having that type of balance can be a problem for New England. Especially with that kind of pressure on your defense, and special teams-wise.
Hall of Fame running back, Emmett Smith, thanks for being with us.
Appreciate it, man.
Enjoy the week.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
Back to you guys.
Steve Tasker with Hall of Fame running back Emmett Smith at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. He reminds me of Thurman, doesn't he?
He does.
Doesn't he?
I mean, he has the look like Thurman.
Looks
but
like
he's
him,
like
talks
a,
like him.
Yeah, he's like a cool dude. Just calm, collect him. I actually saw him at the one out in San Fran. We were at the gospel concert. Saw him there. That was a good time, too. But, you know, he talked about something at the end of that. And I think a lot of people are sleeping on how balanced that Eagles offense is. I think a lot of people sleep on that run attack that they have with those two running backs and LeGarrette Blount. Everybody just talks about the quarterback situation with Nick Foles. How is Nick Foles going to play? And obviously he needs to play well, not turn the ball over, all of that stuff. But they have a very good run attack with those two running backs. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I keep thinking back what Frank Reich told Steve the other day on the show about how we don't have – it's like a basketball team without a 30-point-per-game scorer. We got a lot of guys. They can go a lot of different directions with that offense. Is it going to be enough against New England? I don't think so. You know, I mean, who are they counting? Who would be a under-the-radar breakout-type player for Eagles offense in this game? I don't know. Zach Ertz. You know?
Zach Ertz. I mean, they have some good receivers too, and Aguilar and Alshon Jeffries. You know, some guys that can. Zach Ertz might be an X factor though. Yeah. Who's going to cover Zach Ertz? I mean, he's been a solid tight end in this league for some time. I think he's slept on a little bit. So when everybody is trying to worry about, as they're trying, the Patriots are trying to make sure they shut down the run game. The corners outside are going to try to shut down Jeffries and Aguilar. Zach Ertz might be the one to go up the middle of the field against McCourty or one of those boys and be able to make a couple of big plays for him.
Yeah. Let us know what you think. How's this game going to play out? Who's going to be the MVP of Super Bowl 52? The phone lines are open. They have been all day. 803-0550 and toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Our Twitter poll deals with the Super Bowl. We ask you how it's going to play out. What do you think the outcome will be? Do you think the Patriots win in a blowout? Do you think the Patriots win a close game on Sunday? Do you think the Eagles win in a blowout? Do the Eagles win in a close game? Most of our Twitter respondents, about 40% or so, think it's going to be a close Patriots win. 39% say that. 35% say the Eagles win a close game. 17% say the Patriots win big. 9% say the Eagles win big. I wouldn't want to bet this game. And I don't. What is the point spread? I don't even know. 8 points or something? Six, 8 points?
Something like that, yeah.
I wouldn't want to bet this game. But people do prop bets too, Donald. And we talked about some of the bizarre ones.
4.5 right now.
4.5? Yeah, I that's pretty
close.
It
started off somewhere higher than that. But, yeah, it's 4.5 now as we get closer to the game.
Prop bets, over and under, interceptions, 1.5, both teams combined.
Say that one more time.
Interceptions in the game, how many? Over or under 1.5 combined, both teams.
Ooh, I'm going to go over.
Me too.
I'm going to go over on that one. And we talk about Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles might have an interception or two. And we know that Eagles defense likes to cause turnovers. We don't know if the Patriots will turn it over, but I think we're going to have to be over that one.
What about touchdowns, over and under, both teams? The over-under in this prop bet sheet is 5.5.
Oh, I'll go.
I'm going to go under.
You're going to go under?
Yeah. I think the Eagles can play some defense. 5.5 touchdowns, that's a lot of touchdowns.
That is a lot of touchdowns. I can see the Patriots scoring 3 and the Eagles pulling out 2 of them or something like that. So – I think I'll go over 5.
Rushing yards. Jay Ajayi rushing yards. Over and under 60.5. I'll say under because they do have, you know, they have other options too on offense.
Yeah, they have LeGarrette Blount.
He can be good, by the way, and do 60 yards.
I'll go over.
Yards.
I'll go over. I think he's going to break a big run.
Really?
You know, I mean, he has a lot of tough yardage. LeGarrette Blount gets a lot of tough yards, but Jay Ajayi is the type of back that can break one. And next thing you know, he has 80 yards just because he had one 40-yard run and a bunch of little 5-yard runs.
Nick Foles' number of completions, passing completions, over or under 22.5?
Completions.
Ooh. I'll say under.
Yeah, I'm going to go under on that one.
I just don't know that he is up to this task, Donald. I worry about him.
I don't think, unless they have to, I think they want to lean on that run game. Even though they're a balanced offense of attack, I think they want to lean on that run game. And if they can keep this game close, they're going to continue to run the ball. So I think I'm going to go under. And I don't think they're going to put this entire game on his shoulder.
Patriots offensive production. Tom Brady, number of passing yards, over or under 294.5?
Oof, over.
I think over, too.
I'm going to go over on that one.
And it'll get worse as it goes along. Because they, you know, they'll run more if they get a lead, but they continue to pass throughout the game. And,
yeah.
And Brady will just rack up yardage. I'm guessing it'll be like a – it'll be a 300-yard game that sort of sneaks up on you.
Yeah, it'll have a couple of big plays, like a couple of big plays. The Eagles are going to make sure that they don't continuously go down the field. But you got to remember, they have Gronk in the game. And Gronk eats up 15, 20 yards at a clip, you know. So I think he's going to be over that.
Speaking of Rob Gronkowski, over or under prop bet, Rob Gronkowski touchdowns. The number is 0.5. So does he get a touchdown or more, or is he kept out of the end zone?
I go over.
I go over, too.
Yeah, I think he's going to score. He's going to score, and you're going to see your Gronk spike, which I don't even know how that became a Gronk spike when they've been doing that forever. But
he's got his own particular spike.
Yeah, he just spikes it hard.
Yeah, it's his trademark.
That's his trademark.
prop bets, field goal. Who gets the first field goal of the game, Philadelphia or New York?
Or
New England, rather.
Who gets the first field goal of the game? I'll go New England on that one.
Okay. Who gets the first touchdown?
Oh, New England.
Yeah. Probably the last one, too.
Yeah.
Successful fourth down conversion. Will there be one? Yes, I think there will be. Somebody will go for it on fourth down between these two teams.
Yeah, it's going to be a quarterback sneak by Tom Brady.
Yeah. Will either team score three straight times? Yes or no?
Hmm.
I think no. I don't think it's going to be that kind of a game. What do you think, Tom?
I'll agree with you there. I don't think it's going to be. You're not going to get. I don't think the Patriots have scored three straight times or the Eagles. I think the Eagles' defense is good enough. And I think the Patriots' defense is good enough to keep the Eagles from scoring three times.
This is an interesting prop bet. Points. There will be points scored in the final 2 minutes, either team, either half. Points scored in the final 2 minutes, yes or no. I think it's either half. Maybe it's the end of the game. Points scored in the final 2 minutes, yes or no. I say yes.
I say yes to both of them, halftime and the end of the game.
Yeah. And this is a really interesting prop bet if you're into this sort of thing. Odd or even, the jersey number of the guy who scores the first touchdown.
Mm.
I mean, just throw a dart, folks. Who knows?
Yeah. Ooh.
Odd or even?
I'm going to go – I'm trying to think of players' numbers. I'm going to go odd. I think Gronk is going to score the first touchdown. He's 87, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I go odd on that one.
Prop bets, part of Super Bowl Sunday. The game itself coming up on Sunday. We're going to head back to Steve Tasker in a couple of minutes to get more from Super Bowl City. Lige Doosable standing by to join Steve, former Buffalo Bills defensive lineman, now with the San Francisco 49ers. That's coming up after this break. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy and Donald Jones back in our One Buffalo studio. Thanks for joining us here today on the radio or on the TV side. You're welcome to join us on the telephone at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. What's Super Bowl Sunday going to look like for you, Donald? Where are you going to watch the game? Who are you going to watch with? What do you think?
I will be sitting on the couch watching probably by myself.
No big parties?
No big parties. I don't like doing parties. I was telling somebody about this yesterday. The reason being, because I played, if I go to a party, people want to talk to me about what's going on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to ask me. And then obviously people know that now I do this for a living. So they want to ask me different questions about, hey, what do you know about what they're about to do? I have no clue what they're about to do. I have no clue anything about those teams. I mean, I know some things, but I know the same stuff that you know. Let's just say that. So I just don't – I want to be able to listen to the game. When you go to a party, there's so many people talking and yelling and screaming, and there's drinks and all types of stuff and popcorn and everywhere. I'd rather just sit on the couch and chill by myself and watch the game.
Do you find that you will talk back to the announcers on TV?
Sometimes
I do that
on regular games.
Right,
yeah,
me too. Just regular like, no, games. That's not what he said, or no, that's not what happened.
I mean, let me tell you, that's the funniest thing to me when something happens and then the announcer will say, "Oh yeah, Tom Brady's saying this and this and this to this person," and you're like, "How do you know that's what he's saying?
Right.
You don't know what you're talking about right now." And sometimes they're totally wrong, and you're like, "What are you talking about?" So yeah, I talk back to the TV all the time.
Yeah. Couple of other prop bets that come in via Twitter from folks tuned in today. Ken M tweets in, how many controversial penalties but arguable penalties over or under two, and who do the penalties aid?
Controversial. I know where this is going.
Yeah, well,
controversial.
He's gonna say that the Patriots get all the calls. We
right.
all know that, don't they?
Yeah. How many? Over, under two?
Yeah. It'll probably be a couple of close calls.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a couple of close ones. I think we're going to get a review or two that will be very close because you have so many different camera angles in the stadium.
Yeah.
So I'll go over.
Bills Cape Dave tweets in, controversial calls over or under 2.5. I'll say over 2.5 even. I mean, well, I think they're being facetious. There'll be close calls, though, right? There'll be calls that you're like, what? What did they see there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Gene Steratore, who's been known to whistle a lot of calls, a lot of penalties. That's
so we're
going
to see a lot of flag. I hope we don't see a flag-filled game.
Me too.
I mean, I don't want to just continue to see Gene all game talking to us.
Right.
Like, let the players play on the field. But if that's what he's used to, you know that crew. Now, how does it work for a Super Bowl? Do they have – is it his crew that he's been working with all year, or is it a they kind of assemble different guys from different crews?
Yeah, it's not the same crew. I think it's like an all-star crew.
Well, we'll see how this one turns out, but we all know that, you know, he's been known for a lot of calls.
Don't ruin it, officials, and I have faith, some faith in Gene Steratore to not ruin it, but please just slide off to the background.
I wouldn't want to be the official who makes a certain call to – you know, make the fortune go one way or the other in a Super Bowl game.
Right.
Or in any big game, but especially the Super Bowl. I don't want to be that guy to make the wrong call. So you have to wonder, as we talk about so much pressure being on the players, we talk with Steve about the pressure being on the players, you got to wonder how much pressure these officials have in their mind to not be that guy when you know millions of people around the world are watching this game. I have friends out in Manchester, England, who can't wait to see this game. So you know millions of people around the world are going to be watching. I wouldn't want to be that guy.
I wonder what they do, the officials, if they that crew assembles in Minneapolis by today, Friday, they're probably there. Do they look at their games in the past? Do they get instruction from, you know, the league? This is our point of emphasis. This is how we're going to do it. I mean, there are certain things that are different about this game, timing in particular, right?
Yeah.
Halftime timing during the course of the game. But you wonder if they have, like, extra work to do to get ready for the game, the officials.
Is this Gene's first?
No, he's done several Super Bowls, I'm sure.
Yeah. So he probably has the entire routine down. Yeah. And probably a lot of this crew. It's not probably not their first rodeo at this thing.
Yeah.
I hope they'll be okay.
Please don't ruin it, officials. Please, please don't ruin it.
Do you think that the Super Bowl should be, like, considered a national holiday, or at least a Monday after where people don't have to go to work?
Yeah, some people think they should play it on Saturday. To accomplish the same
or that,
thing. Yeah, I'd be up for that.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
The TV ratings would be higher Sunday than Saturday, but no, I don't think it'll ever move. But yeah, I'd be up for another holiday. Sure, I'll take it. Take the day off.
Don't have to work.
Yeah,
we would probably have to work.
Hey, Steve Tasker is covering Super Bowl 52 for us, and he is out there in Minnesota on Radio Row at the Mall of America, Bloomington, Minnesota. He had a chance to sit down today with Lige Doosable. Remember him? Do's and Don'ts, part of our show last year when Lige played for the Buffalo Bills. Now he is with the San Francisco 49ers. Let's send it out to Steve Tasker right now with Lige Doosable.
I'm sitting here with Lige Doosable, former Buffalo Bill, and 2 years ago, and then this last year we're in San Francisco. You were with Rex Ryan a couple of years in New York. Then you came to Buffalo for a year, ended up in San Francisco. How was your year out there?
It was great. It was great playing for Kyle and John Lynch. Jed's an awesome owner. You know, he really, anything the players need, you know, they can have it there. And it was just great. And I think the team really took off once we got Jimmy Garoppolo in the building. He just elevates everybody's game.
Talk a little bit about that, because everybody on the outside saw it.
Exactly.
I mean, he was struggling along, kind of plugging along, and, you know, trying to hang in there in a tough season. Looked like you were in the running for even the first draft pick.
Definitely.
And then you got Garoppolo, and he sat for 4 weeks. Yeah. What was that four-week period like before he got in there as a starter?
It was good. I mean, he had to learn the system. You can't just come in, especially at that position, the quarterback position. You know, everything falls on you, so you can't just, you know, a guy has a lot of talent. You just can't put him in there against the fire. You know, Kyle Shanahan's offense can be a little tricky, so he had to sit for a few weeks. You know, we had a young guy, CJ. He got a lot of experience, which was a good thing for him. But once he came in, I would say from day one, I've been telling this story all week. When we traded for him, the first press conference, you know, Jed wasn't the first one to talk. John wasn't the first one to talk. Kyle wasn't the first one to talk. Jimmy came up there and took the mic and literally took over. And that just shows you what type of guy he is, a guy that really commands the huddle, commands the locker room. And people talk about that it factor. He just has it. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It's just when he walks into the room, it's like that's a guy that, you know, knows what he wants, knows what he's going to do. And from that first practice going forward, everybody just – jaw drop just seeing him, the way he prepared, the way he was running scout team, as you said, for the first couple weeks, and it was like he was a starting quarterback already. Mm-hmm. So everybody was just like, oh my God, this is who we got on our team now. And as you saw, like I said, it elevated the team.
So now sitting here, you got a contract for another year?
No, I'm actually free this year.
Oh, you're free?
Yeah.
Those guys got to be stoked about the future for them.
Definitely.
I guess you'd love to get back there.
I would definitely love to get back there, but you know, I'm gonna let my agent and everything handle that. It's been a blessing playing 10 years, but I think we got something really going really well in San Francisco, and it'd be amazing to go back. So, I'm sorry.
No, Steve, go ahead.
I think at, towards the end of the year, if we had got into the playoffs, I think we're one team that nobody really wanted to play. Well, I mean, winning five in a row at the end of the year, six out of the last seven. So, you know, the arrow is definitely trending up for San Francisco.
All right. So that's perfect because you're a free agent. Because back in the day, we had a thing on the radio with the do's and don'ts.
Yes.
The do'sable don'ts, right? So I'm going to ask you three different categories, the do's and don'ts.
Okay.
So give me the do's and don'ts of Radio Row. You've been knocking this out for you know a couple of days.
Do's and don'ts of Radio Row at the Super Bowl. It's been great. I'm here with the NFL players engagement, getting some experience with broadcasting, something that I've done the last couple of years. As you stated, I had my own segment with John last year in Buffalo. So I would say the first do's and don'ts, the number one do is definitely look presentable. As you see myself, kind of dapper.
I feel kind of bad. You're just black suit with the neck, black accent tie. Grayson, you do look good. I
appreciate
it. Not like me. I look like a homeless person here.
Exactly. I know you don't look. You look pretty good, Steve. The thing is, you never really notice who you're going to meet here. So it's a great place to meet contacts. You always want to look presentable, especially in my line of work, trying to get into the broadcasting game.
Sure.
You want to look presentable. So that's definitely the first thing you want to do.
What's the don't? Do you have a don't?
Yeah, definitely a don't is every you have a schedule. But it's not fluid here at Radio. You know, people cancel on you.
Right.
So the thing is, always be prepared for adjustments. That's the number one don't, I would say. Always be early and always be prepared for adjustments because your schedule is not fluid here at Radio Row. Guys come in and out. There's guys that are going to be late. So you got to always be ready for variable change.
All right. Now, do's and don'ts of Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
What are your do's and don'ts?
I'm going to go with don't first. This is the number one thing. Always get to a place 30 minutes to an hour early. Especially out here in Minnesota because the weather is crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
You don't want to get to a place and have to be outside standing in line because you got there too late. So there's a lot of fun events. Have fun, but always get to a place early, especially Super Bowl week.
That's awesome. Now, all right, we're with LeJarrette Doosable, San Francisco 49er, former Buffalo Bill, now free agent. You're getting into broadcasting. Now, here's the thing. You mentioned it. You don't want to stand outside. The do's and don'ts of Minneapolis weather.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. I thought I went to the Super Bowl, was it 3 years in New York, 3 years ago in New York, and I thought that, you know, weather was kind of bad.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's crazy because I played in New York, Buffalo. So, to me, it wasn't terrible. You know, it was bad for other people. But this cold here, Steve, is a different type of cold.
If you're living in hell, you're getting sent to Minneapolis because hell ain't cold enough.
Exactly.
I'm telling you what, it is dangerous cold out. It is life-threatening cold.
Literally, it is. So, I would say the number one do is bring as many jackets as you can here.
I had to buy a coat when I was here.
Oh, man, I was thinking about going to get one the other day. We're in the mall here at Radio Row. There's tons of stores. So I definitely thought about getting an extra coat. But luckily, I packed three or four. I got my trench coat over there.
Yep.
So I'm good. So that's the number one do. When it comes to weather here in Minneapolis, pack as many coats as you can.
There you go. You can't put it on if you don't bring it with you. That's my
definitely
mantra.
True.
LeJarrette Doosable, thanks for coming on, man. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thank you for having me.
And there you go, Steve Tasker with LeJarrette Doosable. He hasn't changed. LeJarrette hasn't changed at all, still dishing out the do's and don'ts.
Still dishing out do's and don'ts. Got to talk about the fashion. We used to talk about the fashion every Friday on the do's and don'ts. So, yeah, he's still good. Sounds like he was excited about San Fran and their uptrend right now.
Yeah. A guy like that, you know, he's no Pro Bowls or anything like that, no real accolades throughout his career, but a nice career nonetheless, right? Bouncing, if you're prepared to bounce around a little bit and adapt to changing circumstances and take to coaching pretty well. I'm sure that's part of his success, you know, coachable, doosable, coachable. I'm sure that's part of the trick of hanging around the league a long time.
It is. I mean, what do you say, 10 years in?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most people in this league don't last 10 years. They will always say NFL stands for not for long. NFL, the average career is, what, 3 years in this league? So
yeah.
For him to be able to last, and he's bounced around, but for him to still be in this thing 10 years later is a great accomplishment. And you do have to be willing to adapt, willing to bounce around. That's a tough thing to do, to have to bounce around year after year. You're in a different city. You can never really settle in anywhere. That's tough to do.
Steve Tasker killing it out in Minnesota for us. Talk to LeJarrette Doosable. He also has now another guest, a guy who I think Steve would probably be interested in talking to, one of the all-time return men in NFL history, Devin Hester. And Steve Tasker, of course, regarded as the all-time special teams cover man. So the two of them are sitting down right now in Minnesota. Let's send it back out to Steve with his special guest, Devin Hester.
Thanks, Murph. I'm sitting here with a guy after my own heart, Devin Hester, former Chicago Bear, the NFL record holder for most return touchdowns in a career. Am I right?
That's right.
You just retired, and I'd ask you how you liking it. You loving it?
I'm loving it, man. Enjoying life.
It's awesome. It's cool, too. In your Super Bowl with the Chicago Bears against the Indianapolis Colts, You scored a touchdown opening kickoff.
Opening kickoff, yes.
I was a sideline reporter for
that.
You caught it right in front of me.
That's what's
and
up.
You went the distance. And I was like, man, they ain't kicking to that guy anymore. Right? What'd you think? I mean, because there was a big question. Because you did have a reputation at that point in your career, as you did early on in your career. I mean, you were knocking it out.
Right.
They said, are they going to kick it to him? And Tony Dungy had said, yeah, we're going to kick it to him.
Right. It was that whole week. It was a big conversation about that situation, whether or not they're going to kick me the ball. So Tony Dungy's mind, he didn't want to do it. But in the special team unit-wise, in the meeting room, the players wanted to. So they're like, Coach, you know, this is a big challenge for us. We can set a statement. You know, if we pin him back and hit Devin in the mouth, man, it'll shut their whole special team down. And so they end up convincing Tony to go ahead and kick it to him, and we made him pay for it.
Players don't know anything, man. You can't. But this is the cool part. You're working with PizzaHut.com.
Right.
And if you're a Pizza Hut Rewards member, if you're a Pizza Hut Reward member and somebody in this Super Bowl 52 scores a touchdown in 14 seconds
within
or less,
14 seconds of
every Pizza Hut Reward member gets a
free pizza.
Free pizza.
Free pizza.
Across the country.
So, to be honest, it don't matter how they score the touchdown. It has to be within the 14 seconds.
Right.
Within the 14 seconds of the Super Bowl, you have to sign up for Hut Rewards. If you do that before the kickoff start and there's a touchdown scored within that 14 seconds, everybody that signs up for it get a free pizza.
That's awesome.
And it's that cost. No cost to sign up for it.
You got to go in on PizzaHut.com, sign up for Hut Rewards, and hope. So even if it's a touchback on the kickoff, like it always is now.
Right.
75-yard touchdown.
Free pizza. Free pizza.
That's awesome. All right, so tell me this. You retired from the Bears.
Right.
And you were, and I can relate, because you were a guy that had a speciality. You were returning kickoffs, and you did it so well.
Uh-huh.
Everybody said, well, give him the ball more. And then they made you a receiver.
Right.
Were you happy about that?
At the time, I wasn't. You know, I wanted to focus more on defense. I was at corner. And I believe, you know, be honest, corners is defense side of the ball is what my passion was. Receiver tip, I didn't know anything about receiver. You know, that was my first time playing receiver. But the simple fact is that when we start seeing teams kick away from me, it threw up a red flag. And I mean, like, hey, we got to find a way to get you the ball. There's no other way to get you the ball but put you on offense. So it was that situation where you say, hey, we got a guy, one of the best guys in the league with the hands on the ball. If you got teams to avoid him by just kicking it out of bounds, like kicking a touchback, you eliminate him. So the only way to get him the ball is we had to put him on offense, and that was the move.
Yeah, Devin Hester, one of the greatest return man maybe of all time. You just retired. People are already talking about you maybe getting a nod as a Hall of Famer. A guy like Gale Sayers, who only played 64 games, was a return man who did get in the Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts about that? Have you given that any thought?
Be honest, now that I'm retired, it's getting thrown in my face a lot. But to be honest, I do feel that I deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, because when you look at it and you break down different positions, you pick a guy in that Hall of Fame in each position, but you pick the best guy in that position, whether it be a kicker, long snapper, quarterback, or whatever. You go to that category and you say, who is the best at this position? And I honestly do feel that.
Well,
and the kickoff and punt return side of the ball, I'm the best to ever do it.
You can back it up.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
Most definitely.
Devin Hester, congratulations on a fantastic career. PizzaHut.com/Hut Rewards. If somebody scores a touchdown
within 14 seconds in America, if you sign up for it.
Free pizza.
Free pizza.
That's awesome, man. Enjoy the week.
Thank you.
We'll go back to you guys.
All right.
Think that'll happen? Think they're giving away pizzas in that contest?
I don't. You don't think so?
No. Come on.
I mean, that's crazy if you market it and not do it. But you never know today's world. But, you know, Devin Hester was – that dude was amazing.
Yeah, did you ever play against him?
Yes, I did. We played the Bears up in Toronto my rookie year. I'm still playing the gunner. I'm still playing the two on the kickoff return. He's back deep on both of them. And, you know, we going into the game, we're like, we can't kick it to him. Brian Moorman punts it. And kicks it right to him. And I'm running down the field as a gunner, and I look up, and the ball's in the middle of the field. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Even kicked it to Devin Hester, and we got to make the play. And
I actually ended up forcing him back in. But I just remember running down thinking to myself, like, you know, you play receiver. Now you got to tackle Devin Hester.
You thinking about this?
Yes, because you're like, what are you doing kicking it to him? Like, Steve and I have talked about this on air. You sometimes when in the middle of the play, you look up and you're like, you kicked it in the middle of the field? Right to Devin Hester, of all people, you kicked it to him? He did the same thing to Josh Cribbs. It was like, dude, you know, we work on this all week, and you kick him out of bounds. Yeah, we talked about this. You kick it out of bounds in practice. Every day you get in the game and kick it dead smack down the middle of the field. We ended up tackling him, but I'm running down nervous. It was crazy.
Thinking about your career choice.
Yeah, exactly. Come like, on, what am man. I doing here, man?
Why
I got to get on offense soon.
Devin has
to. Yeah, you won't be on my highlight. I won't be on his highlight.
Did he break a big one?
No, we tackled him. Yeah. Now, well on a kickoff, well. Though, he was back deep, and I'm running down as a two. And typically, the Bears did something different. And typically, they don't have the lineman come out and block the two. Typically, it's somebody smaller, like, even like a linebacker or somebody else will come out and block the two. They sent this big fat lineman out to block me, and this dude hit me so hard. And I was going, I swear I was about to make the tackle on Devin Hester, and this dude just came out of nowhere and just smacked me all the way under the bench. It was crazy.
Love to see some highlights of that. We're going to take a break. We got more coming up from here in Orchard Park and from the Super Bowl when we return the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones talking a lot about the Super Bowl today. The game is 2 days away. Donald, I never thought we'd do this, but we're going to rip off a segment that I really like on the Instigators.
Okay.
And it's called Recap from the Future. Have you ever seen this segment? Petey and Graves do it. It's great. It's genius.
It's genius.
I don't know whose idea it was. It's great. So essentially, they'll get Craig Rivet talking about, say, if the Sabres play tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They will talk as if they're speaking the next day and recap how the game went. Let's do that for the Super Bowl.
All right.
Recap from the Future, Super Bowl 52. Guess we don't get the music that they play in the hockey show.
We don't get any.
Yeah. Recap from the future. There it is. That's what makes it. So imagine, Donald, and I won't be here Monday. You will. Imagine it's Monday, next Monday, February 5th. Super Bowl has been played. The commercials have been aired. Everybody is stuffed and sated and talking about the Super Bowl. Let's recap that game. Can I go first?
You can go first.
What a great game. It went down to the wire, which I was happy about. It was a compelling game. And yeah, James White was a deserving winner of the Super Bowl MVP with his two touchdowns, including that tremendous catch he made in the end zone. Gronk got into the end zone, he does what he does. I give the Eagles a lot of credit. They were gamers. Nick Foles didn't play poorly. That Philadelphia defense had its good moments, put a lot of pressure on Brady without much blitzing. But in the end, the better team won. The Patriots, you got to hand it to them, as difficult as it is. Give it to the Patriots. They won another Super Bowl by a score of 27-20. It was a pretty good game. That's my recap from the future.
So, for me, I mean, the game was great, but it started off with the Doritos commercial with the monkey on the motorcycle eating Doritos while he was riding the motorcycle.
Is that for real?
I have no clue.
Oh.
But then as
I thought maybe you had some.
But then we got into the game, and the Eagles started out. They got hot. You know, they went up big. The Patriots, once again, they always do it. They come back at halftime. They get a touchdown at halftime. They come out in the second half. They get a field goal, and they start this amazing comeback. Then you had James White. But ultimately, I think you left out one play. The biggest play in that game was the Danny Amendola punt return to get them down close to the end zone, and they end up winning that game on a field goal. It was an amazing game, though.
Guys make plays for the Patriots and made them in the Super Bowl yesterday who – you know, you just don't go into a game thinking, we got to deal with Amendola, we got to deal with James White, and yet there they are. They are the playmakers.
I mean, it's crazy because every year there's somebody different that has a big game in the Super Bowl. And typically they'll have – each of these guys will have one big play, at least one big play. But Danny Amendola has been doing it all throughout the playoffs. And he showed up again last night in the game with a huge punt return. He had a couple of big catches throughout the game, but he had a huge punt return to put them in position. And we all know Brady is Brady at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's hard for everyone to swallow, but Brady is Brady, greatest that ever played the position.
But ultimately, I'm telling you, the best part of it was the monkey on the motorcycle eating Doritos.
Is that a real commercial? Did I miss something?
I don't know. I feel like Doritos, They always have the monkey in the commercial, the Doritos commercial.
Monkey,
I could have the commercials mixed up, but there's a monkey that is always in these Super Bowl ads.
The animal ad. You said it's going to be the first one, right?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Recap from the future, Super Bowl 52. We've got it wired. You don't even have to watch the game. We just told you how it's going to play out, we think. Coming up next hour, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network will sit down with Steve Tasker out at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. Also, Kevin Harlan from the NFL on CBS will join Steve out there as we continue on with our coverage, our pregame coverage, the pregame show for Super Bowl 52, the Eagles and the Patriots. Come on back for more of the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bill Drive. It is Super Bowl weekend. Super Bowl 52 coming up 6:30 p.m. on Sunday. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings playing for all the marbles on Super Bowl Sunday. As far as the players are concerned, Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski was cleared from concussion protocol late yesterday. Should be good to go for the game on Sunday. The Patriots and Eagles practicing again today. The Philadelphia Eagles have some illness issues. Defensive tackle Timmy Jernigan, cornerback Ronald Darby missed media sessions yesterday, and Jernigan missed his second consecutive practice session, both under the weather. Backup running back Kenyon Barner and coach Doug Peterson also ill. They say it's a cold. They're getting over it. Jernigan not expected to miss the game against the Patriots. His illness described as a 24-hour deal, but there is illness among the ranks of the Philadelphia Eagles. Demore Smith, the president, executive director of the NFL Players Association, is talking like there's going to be a war in 2021 when the Players Association deal runs out with the National Football League. He says, "We prepare for war." Smith, speaking at his annual news conference at the Super Bowl, said he's open to getting a collective bargaining agreement done before that, but they're ready to go to war if the owners want it that way. Buffalo Sabres getting set to play again tomorrow night. Sabres back in action against the St. Louis Blues, 7 o'clock faceoff. At the KeyBank Center. Sabres lost to the Florida Panthers last night 4-2. They are back on the ice today with Ryan O'Reilly on the power play. Zemgus Zergensen scored for Buffalo. Chad Johnson with 28 saves in that 4-2 loss. O'Reilly now with a goal and an assist and 10 points in his last 10 home games. College basketball tonight, both Niagara and Canisius in action on the road. The Canisius Golden Griffins play at Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York. 7 o'clock tip-off there. The Griffs are 13-9. And the Purple Eagles of Niagara have a game at St. Peter's tonight. That game tips off at 7 o'clock. That is the update from One Bills Drive, John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy and Donald Jones, we've been talking about the Super Bowl, obviously, what you think might happen in the Super Bowl. Give us a call. Give us your prediction. Phone lines open, 803-0550. And toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. In the Super Bowl, how do you think this is going to play out? Who do you think is going to win? That's our Twitter poll. It is up right now, and it continues to be up for another several minutes here. What do you expect the outcome to be? 38% of you say you expect a close win for the New England Patriots. 34% of you say you expect the Eagles will win a close game. 18% say you think the Patriots will win big. 10% think the Eagles will win big. Donald and I both on record are saying we think the Patriots are going to win a close one. But maybe some people think the Patriots already have it won. Donald, what are you finding?
I think
about Tom Brady and
I saw something last night about his acceptance speech, MVP.
Oh, MVP.
Yeah, that's MVP acceptance speech for the league. Yeah, for the season. Somebody was holding it, and you could see a picture of it. Even ESPN SportsCenter, they tweeted it out. So I'm not sure if that's a real thing or not, or if he's already gotten the MVP award. But there was a Tom Brady acceptance speech sighting last night.
Well, that would be for the NFL awards night tomorrow night. So they probably taped it. Maybe for real. Maybe it's not, right? Maybe he said, "Tom, if you win, you can't come on the show." I'm just trying to cover for him a little bit. I'm sure he doesn't think he has it in the bag. He wouldn't do it unless somebody asked him to do it, right?
Yeah.
Would he? I mean, he's not that kind of guy.
It was somebody else holding it. Who knows? Everything gets leaked in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, it does. It does. Steve Tasker covering the Super Bowl for us out in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He is on Radio Row, and Steve is ready to go again. He is with Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network and NFL.com. Let's send it out to Minnesota and Steve Tasker.
Thanks, Murph. I'm here on Radio Row with NFL draft expert Daniel Jeremiah, and you were also an NFL scout for Baltimore, for Cleveland, for Philly.
Yep.
And, in fact, you were with Philly in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
what do you think about the way Philadelphia is building their roster now and the things they've been able to do? Obviously, didn't work with Peterson in this group.
Yeah, it's been interesting. To me, the time I spent there, the last year I was there was 2012, and we picked Fletcher Cox, Michael Kendricks, Nick Foles, and Vinny Curry. So a bunch of those guys out there. And then the whole personnel staff's all my buddies from Baltimore that came over. So
is that right?
There's like five guys now in this personnel department that were there that helped kind of build all those Ravens teams. So they've done a nice job of melding these two philosophies together. Howie handles the cap better than anybody and has been more creative in trade acquisition than anybody. He's done a phenomenal job there. And then Joe Douglas coming on the personnel side with the drafting that they've done, adopting what we did with Ozzie Newsome forever, which was best player available. You're loaded at the defensive line, doesn't matter. You'll get Derek Barnett because he's the best guy out right there. And I think in this game, this week, the depth of this team has got him to this point. It's going to have to carry him one more time.
Hey, talk about the depth. You were there when they drafted Nick Foles, and now he's back.
Yep.
What did you see in Foles coming out of the draft that made him such a good guy to get?
Well, the funny thing is we were all in on Russell Wilson, who we thought were going to get in that round.
Really?
We were all excited about. So, truth be told, it was almost like, oh, man, Russell's gone. I guess we'll take Foles. So, we liked Nick. We were in love with Russell Wilson. But now it's just kind of ironic there. You know, Russell's already got a Super Bowl, and now Nick's going to have a chance to get one on Sunday.
Talk to me a little bit about the draft coming up. The big news coming out earlier this week, Alex Smith getting traded for a second and a corner, a very good up-and-coming corner.
Yeah.
What's that do to the draft class and the market for quarterbacks?
Well, I think it's kind of like a game of musical chairs, and I think now you're going to see one chair removed because Cousins is out there. And you look at teams picking high. When you look at Denver, Arizona, they could definitely be in the mix for him. You've got the Jets who are picking up there in the top 10, Cleveland. All these teams are going to try and get in on Cousins, so that takes one team out of the mix. I really think with the four big quarterbacks in this draft, the two kids from L.A., Rosen and Darnold, Mayfield and Allen, that one or two of those guys are going to end up slipping a little bit because there's just not going to be a chair there.
Right.
And then you get to the point where the Giants at two, Gettleman comes back there. They talk themselves into thinking Eli's got a little bit more left. So maybe they don't go quarterback and go try and
make a trade back.
Now you could see some movement, and now you get to the middle of the round where even where Buffalo with the ammunition that they have, it might be a situation where they only have to get up to a 12 or a 13. It might not be quite as costly as you would think if you want to go up and get one of these guys.
That's including me. I think it's really going to be a musical chairs up in front. I think those teams are going to trade out, trade up, trade back, and it's going to be a real issue as to how do you do a mock draft when you don't even know who's going to be picking.
I don't know. I wish they didn't make me do those mock drafts, but everybody keeps reading them. But doing them before free agency is a futile task because everything's going to end up changing after that point in time. But I think last year when you look at the success that Houston had, being aggressive to go up there and get Deshaun Watson, you look at how comfortable and confident Kansas City is after they move up from Mahomes. Now you look at teams like the Saints who have got to be thinking about who their next guy is. Maybe this is the time where they jump in there. You've got the Ravens. You've got the Chargers. There's a lot of teams that could be looking for that next quarterback, and I think we'll see the same thing we saw last year on draft night where our head's spinning because everybody's moving all over the place.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network draft expert. Let me ask you this. All right, throw the quarterbacks out of it. Who are the best guys up there now?
To me, I think Barkley's the best player in the draft. And everybody, you know, the running back, look, he just – if you look at him position by his position, he's the best at his position than anybody else in this entire draft. He does everything – this sounds crazy. He does everything Alvin Kamara can do. He does it in a 230-pound package. So he's a unique kid, and he's a special kid off the field. He's off the charts with his intangibles. So he would be right there at the top for me. And then you start looking at guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick from Alabama who can play anywhere in the secondary. He's a playmaker. I think he's going to be an all-pro safety. He's one that I love. And then it's not a sexy position, but the linebacker from Virginia Tech, Tremaine Edmonds, is going to be 6'4", 240. Can run all day long. He can cover backs and tight ends. He's going to be a unique chess piece.
So it's going to be interesting to see how the top 10 really fall into place because, I anticipate a lot of movement up there, particularly with the clubs that have got their guy, San Francisco.
How stoked are you if you're San Francisco?
Out of the blue, you've
got your guy for the future. You're saying you got to pay him. They're going to pay him a ton of money.
Sure.
But they'll write that check with a smile on their face. And now you got a lottery ticket. If you want to get out of there, you can get out of there. There'll be more than a few teams willing to come up there.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL draft expert. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it. It's great to visit with you.
We'll send it back to you, Murph.
All right, thanks, Steve Tasker, joining us from the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. Good to get something other than Super Bowl talk on the show.
You start talking about the draft, and obviously people here are thinking about draft, and people here are thinking about quarterback. We had LeJay on, and LeJay was talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and the difference that he made at the end of that season.
Daniel Jeremiah was just talking about how happy is San Fran right now.
Yep.
You know, they have to obviously pay him, but they're happy to pay him whatever he wants. You go ahead and give him the money. He's going to probably make more money than Kirk Cousins at this point, because they're going to do whatever they have to do to keep him there. So, yeah, you know, you have a spot that you can probably get up to try to get a draft pick, but I don't even know if it's high enough. I feel like the teams that are really, really early in this thing are going to go ahead and take their quarterbacks. And for those Bills fans who want a quarterback, just understand, especially want a draft pick quarterback that high, just understand you got to be willing to give up a lot of things to get up that high.
Yeah, and for those Bills fans who want a quarterback, and I'm one of them, I want a quarterback too, but you got to sit tight, I think, for a while, right? I mean, there's one thing, you know, the Alex Smith deal this week changed things a little bit, the landscape a little bit. We anticipate the free agency will change things a little bit, maybe change the landscape a little bit, and sit tight. You know, you don't know what it's going to look like on when free agency opens up in a couple of weeks, or when the draft hits at the end of April. You don't know what the landscape's going to be. You don't know who's going to need a quarterback around the NFL by the time the draft hits. You know, Washington no longer in the market. Now Kirk Cousins is on the market. And I anticipate there's going to be some other twists and turns down the road here.
Yeah.
So don't. I guess my counsel is don't get locked into we need this guy. You know, he might not be there. You might not be able to get at him.
He might not be there. And we know the draft is crazy. And the Bills are sitting so far back. The draft is crazy. Other teams trade up and trade back and do all of that stuff. You have no clue what's going to happen with the teams ahead of you in terms of trades and all that stuff. So, yeah, you got to sit tight. We don't know what's going to happen in free agency. We don't even know what's going to happen with the free agents from this team.
Right.
You got to figure out what's going on with this team first. What free agents are gone yet? A guy like E.J. Gaines, who you would think, man, all right, you need to have him back on your team. But let's just say some team just throws him a crazy amount of money. And he's like, I got to go get that money. It's my first big contract. This is, you know, his first big contract. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting corner on the other side. You don't have anymore. So now you got to figure out what you're doing there. I mean, there could be so many. You have so many free agents. Some of them key guys that you probably want to bring back. So we don't even know what holes still need to be filled on this team. Who knows if Kyle Williams is going to come back or not. Maybe he retires and you're like, uh-oh, we don't have any depth now at the defensive line. So you got to figure this stuff out first before we even get to the draft.
Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Let us know what you think about the game on Sunday, the Super Bowl game. How's this game going to play out? Do you have any predictions for the game? Big Patriots win, narrow Patriots margin of victory, or vice versa? The Eagles, big Eagles win, narrow margin of victory. And what about some of the prop bets? Do you have any prop bets you'd like to suggest?
Recap from the future. There's going to be a commercial with some puppies in it, a puppy bowl.
Well, what about the monkey now? Monkeys
the monkey, I don't. I think there's going to be a monkey involved in here somewhere as well, but I think there's going to be a puppy bowl somewhere in this thing, a bunch of puppies running around on a football field trying to get a ball and score touchdowns.
What about Clydesdales? Budweiser Clydesdales?
They're always in it.
They have a role to play here.
Yeah, they definitely have a role to play here. Now, on the puppy thing, that's kind of out a little bit on Twitter. So it's not like me just recapping from the future. That one is kind of out there already.
See, I would think the monkey one would be a little more out there than the puppies. I mean,
no,
I
the puppies is out there. Our buddy Tyler Dunn tweeted it out.
That there's a puppy commercial?
The Bleacher Report actually tweeted this thing out, and you can see the puppies running around on a football field. One of them is chewing on a pylon. He's not even in the game. What are you doing? They're supposed to be trying to get the football and score. The one puppy is chewing on the pylon. They said it took them over 100 times to record this thing. So there's going to be some puppies involved in the commercial at some point. But I still think there's going to be a monkey in this thing, too. Riding a motorcycle, eating a Doritos chip.
Where did you get that?
I don't know. It's just in my mind.
Did you call the Doritos folks? Because it sounds like there might be a concept they can work with, I would think.
They probably could, right? Yeah. The monkey from The Hangover.
Yeah, they can probably work with that. Train the monkey to eat a Dorito on a motorcycle. Instant hit. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free. Yeah, you probably did see it somewhere, and it just stuck in your head. Yeah. Why wouldn't it? 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Talking about the Super Bowl, the path to the playoffs. The playoffs end, of course, on Sunday. Back to the playoffs for the Buffalo Bills, and there's a special television presentation coming up this weekend on Channel 7 here in Buffalo to talk about that. A special playoff caliber, end of the drought, a 30-minute special presented by Connors and Ferris. And it airs tonight, 7 o'clock, on Channel 7 here in Buffalo. It airs tomorrow night, 11:30 on Channel 7 here in Buffalo. Playoff caliber, end of the drought, presented by Connors and Ferris, coming up this weekend. Should be interesting to watch that as you relive what went down a month ago. The Bills getting their playoff drought over with, thanks to help from the Cincinnati Bengals.
Help from the Bengals and the Ravens. Yeah, this is a team that, they should be proud about what they did this past season. But looking forward, you have to ask yourself, and I know so many people, and this is getting back to the draft talk, so many people want to get a quarterback, but you have so many holes on the team. You have so many free agents. How far of a step back do you want to take? I mean, that's what you have to ask yourself. How far of a step back are you willing to take? And I think a lot of people, well, some people I've seen on Twitter say, look, I'm willing to take that step back. To get the quarterback, if they truly believe in that guy, I'm willing to take a step back and be whatever the record is, trade away the entire draft. I've seen it on Twitter. So I think people are willing to really take a step back to get the quarterback that they feel like out of this draft. And I don't know which guy people feel like that is out of this draft. And obviously this draft class has been talked about, highly touted draft class, been talked about since the last pick of last year's draft. They had already been talking about the quarterbacks for this year's draft. Well, it's not like these guys had blowout, I mean, like blew this season out of the water. I mean, there are question marks for all of these guys, except for really, I mean, Baker Mayfield, his biggest thing is his attitude and his height. But I think people like the way he plays on the field. The rest of them is like, who knows? People talking about Josh Allen, number one overall. I mean, he didn't have a good season. He didn't have a good Senior Bowl, so to speak. And you had guys from Western Kentucky and Richmond having a better game than him. So it's not like anybody's saying one of these guys is going to come in and be your day one starter right now. So how willing are you to step back? A little bit? A lot? That's a good question.
Meantime, the Eagles and Patriots get set for the Super Bowl, and our man Steve Tasker has been out there all week. Earlier in the week, Steve had a chance to talk with several players with Buffalo connections who are in this game. Ronald Darby, he talked with Chris Hogan earlier in the week, talked with Frank Reich, his buddy, who is the offensive coordinator for the Eagles. Corey Graham is a safety on the Philadelphia Eagles team, the Buffalo native who has already got a Super Bowl ring from his time with the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. Steve had a chance to talk with Corey Graham and the other day, and Steve asked him if the Eagles are ready to go, if they're up to this challenge. Here's what he said.
First of all, how you feeling physically? In the team, the vibe coming out of the locker room, healthy, refurbished, ready to go. I know you had Foles, you kind of bounced back, everybody rolling.
Yeah, everybody's looking good. I mean, we're ready to roll. For the most part, pretty much everybody's healthy right now. The guys that obviously are here are healthy, ready to go. We're fine-tuning things, getting ready to get back out there, get things ready to go, but we're excited, ready to roll.
How is it in Philly? You guys practicing, bouncing around this city? This place has got to be buzzing.
It's been unreal. It's been unreal. The fans here have been unreal. Everybody excited about it. You know, since Carson got hurt, everybody pretty much counted us out. So to see what we were able to do in the playoffs and still compete at a high level and find ways to get it done has been special. So we just need one more. We got to go out, find a way to go out there, get this last one.
Talk about Jim Schwartz coming in. You got to have a lot of confidence in the guy. I mean, you've played well under him, and he's going to have a really good plan against these guys. And really, you have to.
Yeah, I mean, he knows exactly what to do. He's done a great job pretty much all year. He's excited about this, too. This is a big, obviously, big task for us. I mean, we got Tom Brady. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl last year. They're coming in hot. Tom's won probably five of them already. So it's definitely a big challenge for us. But, I mean, we go out there, dominate, and do what we're capable of doing. It can be a special day.
What's been the message about, you know, all the distractions you're going to face and waiting on the game to happen, trying, you know, in a new place, practicing in a strange place, working in a strange place? What's been the message from Coach about that?
For the most part, you just kind of trying to stick with your normal routine. When you get out here with all the stuff going on outside with your families and things like that all around, everybody pulling you one way. I mean, if you normally get massages and see the chiropractor and watch film a certain way, do exactly what you've been doing to get you there. You don't get to this level and to this platform and try to change everything up. So if you can keep everything the same and try to stick to your normal routine, the better you'll be.
How many tickets did you try and get or have to get for this game? I mean, what's the
best thing about this is you only could buy 15.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really no way around it. Like, the most you could buy is 15. Obviously, everyone wants to come. So it's tough because some people didn't make the cut, and I mean, you're losing some aunts and uncles and stuff like that.
Who was the hardest person you had to look at and say, you know what, I just can't go?
My uncle, he comes to a lot of the games and stuff like that. He really wanted to come to this one, and I didn't have another ticket, and he almost disowned me, told me I'm not his nephew anymore because of it. So I don't know if he's going to talk to me again. So I'm going to have to get some nice stuff. Hopefully we win the Super Bowl. I can bring back an autographed football and a jersey, and maybe he'll forgive me.
Good luck with that, all right?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Take care.
Buffalo's own Corey Graham, 32 years of age, a nice long career in the NFL. We're trying to figure out if he played in that Super Bowl with the Bears rookie year. I don't know if he was – maybe he played in that one, too. I know he won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens, yeah. I know I don't know if he played in that game or not. If so, I mean, that would be three different Super Bowls, three different teams.
That's a great career.
That is a great career right there. But he was talking about the tickets and getting tickets. Now, you covered the four Super Bowls with the Bills. Did you have to get tickets for your family?
Yeah.
Really?
Hard.
How many?
Six.
Six, wow.
I mean, yeah, it was hard. And scrambling, too, for tickets. I mean, just scrambling, making crazy deals and – you know, I'll do this favor for you down the road if I can buy those two tickets. I mean, the key is to get tickets at face value, right?
You're not trying to.
You can always get a ticket if you're ready to go crazy on it.
I remember as a player, I don't know if I can say this on air, but as a player, you get tickets as a player. You get two tickets. And so you can decide if you want to keep those tickets, if you want to give them away, or whatever it is that you want to do.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. And a lot of players might do some other things
sell
with
them.
Their tickets. They sell them.
Scalp them.
Yeah, they do. There are brokers out there that, you know, that's what they do. They just collect tickets from other people and they sell them for players and all of that stuff, and that's how they make a little money on the side. It's crazy business. It really is, and they sell them for so much money. It's ridiculous.
It's nasty business, too.
It is a nasty, nasty business.
I hate that part of it. Hey, not only the game coming up on Sunday, but the annual Pro Football Hall of Fame Selection Committee meeting will be taking place tomorrow in Minnesota. 48-person selection committee will meet to elect the class of 2018. The Pro Football Hall of Fame class this year will be announced on NFL Honors, the two-hour primetime show that airs at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Typically, those names are leaked before that, but it's a fairly strong class with some players who were first-time nominees, including Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, Brian Urlacher, Everson Wall, Steve Hutchinson, first time. If you were to handicap that class, Donald, and you got the senior finalists as well, Jerry Kramer, Robert Brazil, and then you got Bobby Bethard in the contributors category, let me give you the guys who I think will go in. I'm going to go with Bobby Bethard as a contributor. I hope Jerry Kramer gets in finally as an offensive lineman. That's been a long-time point of contention. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Ray Lewis is in, Brian Urlacher is in, I think Randy Moss is in, and I'd say Terrell Owens. Too many receivers?
I mean, there's no rule, right? If you can only have one from each position.
No, there's no rule.
Yeah. I think those two guys, you can't put one in over the other one.
It's hard to do that.
It's hard to do. So I think if one goes in, the other one needs to go in too. I mean, they both had, I guess you could say, checkered passes. But I think they'll both end up going in. Ray Lewis, I think, will get in. The rest of the guys, I'm not really sure. I don't think Brian Dawkins will get in. I don't think Ty Law, Tony Boselli, Kevin Mowai, either one of those two could go in right now. And the Jerry Kramer and the other guys, I don't really know too much about them, so
yeah.
I won't comment on them. But I do think Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, T.O. will get in that thing. Either Boselli or Mowai would get in.
Urlacher?
I'm not sure if Urlacher gets in on his first time.
Okay.
This is first time, right?
Yep.
I'm not sure if he gets
yep.
on his first time.
First year guy.
I mean, do you compare Ray Lewis to Urlacher?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You mean, you asking me, is Urlacher as good and impactful as Ray Lewis? Yeah, I would say he was. I mean, Ray Lewis, there's sort of a mythology about Ray Lewis, and I get it. He's a great player, but Urlacher was a great player as well.
I think that mythology about Ray Lewis puts him in on his first time and Urlacher on his second time.
Maybe. Maybe. I think there's a lot of self-generated mythology about Ray Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Dealing with.
He's marketed himself.
Yes, he has. And been on TV now and networks. And,
yes.
You know, he's had some. Not always the greatest guy, yeah.
Yeah.
He had an issue at the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
That's the thing. If you're talking about, well, you can't go in based off things off the field, then Ray Lewis can't get in right now. T.O. and Randy Moss, none of those guys should go in because they all have. And Ray Lewis was real stuff off the field.
Let's say this about Terrell Owens, though. He never got in trouble.
Right.
Never had issues, you know, legally or anything.
And that's been
maybe
his
not
argument.
The greatest teammate, but I don't think he's ever gotten in trouble for anything. So why does he get lumped in with with guys who did bad things?
That's the thing. I mean, that's his argument. I've never done anything off the field.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't put in and this is going to be a thing. If he doesn't get in and you put in a Randy Moss or a Ray Lewis, you're probably going to hear from him, and you're going to hear from a lot of people like, hold on. So these guys actually got in trouble off the field. You can't say T.O. doesn't have the numbers. He has the numbers to go in. But these guys got in trouble off the field, and they go in on their first time? That's tough to do. That will be a big debate come Monday.
Saturday. Or after the fact.
Yeah, after the fact. Yeah. Once we get back to national media and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's going to be – I think I'd like to be in that meeting this weekend, you know, to see what they say about those two in particular, Terrell Owens and Randy Moss. You can make strong case, obviously, for Lewis and Urlacher. You make a strong case for Edger and James, too, I think.
Yeah.
I hope that there's some sentiment that this is finally the year for Jerry Kramer, who's been a finalist for a long time. And I think – and I'm just kind of going by what, you know, what people have said about Bobby Bethard. I know his track record building – great winning franchises in Washington and San Diego and elsewhere. And I hope that in the contributor category, Bobby Bethard gets in. But I do think there's going to be lively and vigorous debate in that room tomorrow morning out in Minnesota. I really do.
If there was a class where you would think there would be a lot of debate, it would be this class.
Yeah. Mostly because of the receivers.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to head back out to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Steve Tasker standing by to wrap up his coverage of Super Bowl week. That's coming up next, the John Murphy Show. Presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
And we're back from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones. Super Bowl's coming up in a couple of days. Where are you watching it? What are you eating? Who are you hanging with? And who do you think's going to win? How do you think this game will play out? Give us a call. We've got a few minutes left here in the show, about 30 minutes left. 803-0550, the number, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. I'll be outside Buffalo next week. You'll be hosting the show with
not
someone.
Sure yet.
And we're not sure.
That's crazy.
Open
That's how we work here,
show.
Though.
That's
yeah,
how we roll.
We are doing open auditions. That's how we roll, though. We put this thing together on the fly, and you would never know if you're just listening in.
You might know. You might be able to figure it out. Speaking of being out of town, Steve Tasker has been out of town really for more than a week now, Steve. We never asked you about your Steve Tasker joining us now from the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. And it occurred to me the other day really got into the Pro Bowl with you. And I heard you on the radio Sunday doing a great job on the Pro Bowl. How was that experience for you?
It was nice. It was a game that's a little bit unusual. I was laughing at the intensity was lowered because, you know, there was a Bills tailgate there at the Pro Bowl in Orlando. We stumbled right up on it with people with Bruce Smith jerseys, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas jerseys on, and I felt compelled to go say hello, so I walked over. And the intensity level just wasn't there. They had a folding table, but it wasn't on fire, and they weren't jumping off of it. So, but the game was a little bit like that. It was a fun experience for me. I've never done a game from the booth before. I've been a sideline guy for years and years, but I've never done a game from the booth. That was my first opportunity, and it was fun to do it on Westwood One. The game turned into a nice little ending, but I'm ready to come back to Buffalo. That's for sure. I've been on the road a little too long.
Yeah, it's a long time. The one thing I listened to the fourth quarter of the Pro Bowl on the radio. I was driving home from a basketball game Sunday. And you sounded almost apologetic about the play. Like, you know what I mean? You were almost like, no need to be embarrassed, Steve. We all know what the Pro Bowl is all about.
Yeah, well, it's a different game. And you see it and you watch it and it's like, wow, it was really like a step above a training camp practice.
Yeah.
And I get it, too. And I think there's no question that the song about doing something different than the Pro Bowl, having these guys play an exhibition game, is never going to go away. And it's never going to change unless they do change it, unless they do something different. They're never going to play a hard football game competitive like they have and maybe did 25 years ago, 30 years ago. Even when I played, it wasn't a full, an intense game like a regular season game, but it was more than it has been. And it's getting less and less as time goes on. So I think there's always going to be complaints about that. It is an exhibition, I don't think they'll do anything different, but there's a lot of people calling for them to figure something else out.
Steve, do you guys that played in it, I know you have this big group chat with Thurm and all the boys. Do you guys talk about the Pro Bowl like that and how it's so different?
Yeah,
maybe how much money they're making now versus how much you guys made back then?
No, none of that. I got to be honest with you. I don't think the five presidents watched it. I don't think Bruce, Jim, Thurman had time in their busy schedules to sit back and watch an exhibition game. I don't think they watched it. It doesn't resonate for them. It was a fun experience, and let's face it, it is about the players. And now with they have it in Orlando as opposed to Hawaii, thousands of fans come out and hang out and watch practice. Even the practices are unentertaining. Yeah. And it's great to be in Orlando because there's a lot going on, sunny and warm and all that. But it's totally about the players, their families coming out and relaxing. And it's a really – I think the treat for the players isn't the game. It's being in the locker room with the greatest players in the game of this present day, and being a part of those guys. I think that's a real gift to these guys, and I think that's really the fun of it for them is to be in that locker room, part of that team with those guys, because it's a pretty impressive group.
Steve, I mean, how'd you pack for the game? Now, Murph is going down to Florida later on, so he's packed. I'm sure all just
I'm not packed.
Warm. You're not even packed yet. That's crazy. All warm weather stuff. you went straight from Orlando, where I would guess the temperature would be in the 70s, something like that, to Minnesota, where it's like 2 degrees. So how'd you pack for that?
I wish it was 2 degrees in Minnesota, man. It's like minus 22. So cold. No, it's cold. It was tough to pack from Orlando coming up here after and then packing to go to Orlando, then packing to come here and having it. Yeah, I didn't pack really perfectly, I got to be honest with you. But I did have enough warm stuff. There's no question I had enough warm stuff. But, it was hard. I got like I had to buy a coat when I got here because the one coat I had wasn't, and I had to have a different style. I don't know that my luggage is going to fit on the airplane. It's going to be overweight because of the stuff I'm bringing home. I hate traveling. Man. I do it for a living almost, and it's like, I just want to be home.
Oh,
you know it's long. You know you've been on the road. You know you've been on the road too long. You know when I you've been on the road too long. When last night I told somebody, even my hotel room bed is calling me. Even that sounds better than being out any longer. I'm ready to be done. But it has been fun. It's been an exciting week. I've loved working it. Jay Harris, our producer, and I have. It's been fun being here every day and seeing the stuff going on. It's a little cramped this year, other than Houston last year. They had a lot more room. And like I said, every Super Bowl city's different. But it has been a lot of fun. There's no question the Super Bowl continues to grow and get bigger and bigger and more excitement, and it's because of the fans.
I don't know who sounds worse, you talking about you just want to go home or Jay Harris and what he does once you guys leave Media Row right there. I mean, both of you guys just sound like, I just want to go home.
Listen, we got these two cases, we got a tripod, we got these two boxes that look like we're hauling dead bodies around. We're schlepping them through thousands of people through the lobby of the Mall of America. It is not glamorous, let me just tell you. But it's been fun. It's been fun.
Speaking of glamour, Steve, who is the biggest or most impressive celebrity you've come across this week, football or otherwise?
Just today, Andrew Zimmer walked by, the food guy. What's his name of his food? The Travel Channel. Name of his show? Exotic Foods or, right? Ah, gosh. I don't know. Andrew Zimmer of the Food Channel was just walking by a minute ago. Guys, all the TV guys from the football end of it. Howie Long, Phil Simms, I saw last night. Talked to those guys last night. Deion Sanders hanging around. There's a lot of big name football people here. Haven't seen too much entertainment. Although I was talking to a colleague of mine, Solomon Wilcox. He went to the Justin Timberlake listen party last night out at the mansion of Prince at Paisley Park last night. Said it was very intimate, very nice. It was a wonderful get together there. So there's some. There's some stuff going on, absolutely, no question.
You feel like you've been left out, though? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. Oh, Andrew Zimmer's, the name of his show is Bizarre Foods.
Foods, okay.
And And that. So he was hanging around here today. So I saw one of the owners of the NFL, Clark Hunt, the Kansas City Chiefs owner, chief executive officer. He was hanging around here today. So a few of those people are starting to trickle around as well for the weekend.
It looks a lot busier and crowded, more crowded behind you than it did a couple days ago, huh? And noisier, too.
It's crazy. You got now the Eagles fans are starting to show up, and it's EAGLES Eagles every 5 seconds or so. And they were heckling. I know you saw our interview with Emmett Smith earlier today. Emmett's been, you know, bouncing around to different tables, and every time Emmett sits down at a table, the Eagles fans are giving it to the Cowboys, man. They are really hammering them. It's kind of funny. I'm just glad it's not me. But there's all those rivalries that are hanging around. You know, the Minnesota fans don't like the Green Bay fans, and they really don't like the Philly fans. There's a lot of shouting, a lot of heckling going on all over this place, but it's crazy. There's so many people here today as compared to earlier in the week.
Steve, you know, in Philly, they grease up all the polls. Have they greased up any of the polls out there in Minnesota for just in case the Eagles the Eagles win this game?
If you want to keep them busy, tell them to stick their tongue against one of those polls. They'll freeze on the spot, and they won't be able to move. Put a sign there, forbid them to do that, and it'll be perfect. It'll keep them all occupied. No, I haven't seen that yet. In fact, downtown, listen, every restaurant, every bar, every hotel lobby, everything is packed beyond capacity, and there isn't a single solitary person on the street because it's just too cold. Everybody is inside, and the streets are absolutely empty. It's like an apocalyptic movie, and it's really strange because you always see people walking around. Nobody is on the street. You know, you call an Uber, you won't go outside until the thing's sitting right there. I mean, it's just that cold. So it's been a strange phenomenon there. You walk through the streets, the city looks absolutely empty, and in reality, it's filled to bursting capacity.
Well, it was cold 25 years ago, and you played in the Super Bowl there. Is this worse, Steve?
It's close. It's close. It might be worse, but I'm a little better prepared this time than I was 25 years ago. Yeah, I was kind of ready for this, and I'm actually spending more time out in it than I did as a player, you know, 26 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm kind of more ready for it. So I don't think it's worse. I'm handling it better. I think it might be worse, but I'm handling it better. I think that's the key.
I mean, you know, I'm glad I'm not the one complaining about the weather. Murph always comes at me as I see people walking in your camera. Murph always talks about me because I'm complaining about the weather, but it's you right now.
What's that?
I said Murph is always talking about me because I'm the one complaining about weather, but it's you complaining about the weather right now.
Well, if you're going to live in Texas, and that's a tough commute from Texas all the way up to Buffalo to do the show, yeah, you can complain about the weather. If you're making it from Texas to Buffalo, listen, it's all what you're used to. Murph is a lifer in Buffalo. He's never had his head out of the sand. He doesn't even know what good weather looks like. So he has no room to complain.
You know, in about 48 hours.
The weather is cold. Now, listen, there's not as much snow here, no question about it, and the sun is shining a lot. It's not like Buffalo where the clouds kind of keep, I guess, a little heat in. It is clear and beyond cold. And, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's in shock. As you walk outside, it's almost where it takes your breath away. So, I'm going to complain about the weather. That's all there is to it. And I tell people I'm from Buffalo, and they're shocked. But, yeah, I'd rather live in Buffalo.
What about that bag of Skittles? You still got that one?
No, you know what? I had to give it away. I was plowing through Skittles so fast. I had a 5-pound bag of backpack. I was plowing through them so fast, I started to get sick. I gave them to the guys. I gave them to guys from the Philly station because their wives and kids were coming, and I just plunked it on their desk and said, get them away from me. I was chewing through Skittles by the handful. I almost got sick. I'm so bad. I'm such a kid. I was chewing through Skittles like it was Christmas. Oh, my gosh. And I started getting sick, and I gave the whole bag. It was like a 5-pound knapsack full. I just gave them away. Oh, my gosh.
Steve Tasker wrapping up his time in Minnesota. Now the game. Let's talk a little bit about the game, Steve. What kind of a game do you expect? How do you think this game will play out on Sunday?
Listen, the Patriots aren't going to make any mistakes. It's going to be a close game. They are a good football team, but they're playing a team that's more talented than the Patriots. They're going to be able to physical – the Eagles are going to be able to physical them a little bit. One question that's going around here in Minneapolis is the Patriots have got to find a way to negate the pressure by the front four of Philly, and one of the reasons they get pressure from the front four is because they rotate about 8 guys through there. They really run them through and keep them fresh. The offensive line, you know, you never rotate those guys out of there. So late in the game, you're still running fresh pass rushers against an offensive line that's had 3 quarters of work in. So you get some production late in games. everybody kind of anticipates that the Patriots have got a plan for that. My anticipation would be Brady's going to go fast, so you can't rotate those guys in and out. If that's the case, they may get some mileage of that early on, but I don't think there's any question. There are going to be times, and Philly's going to have to anticipate that, and they'll run those guys off hard. Now, it may mean that Philly stays on there a little longer in their rotation and not come out every two or three plays. They might go three or four plays or five plays and then come off so that they can use that energy to sprint on and off and, to get on and off. But I think that's the key to the game. How are the Patriots going to handle the pressure from those front four by Philly, and can Philly's offense continue to roll? They spread it around. They got a lot of weapons. They run it really well. They got two backs that they really like, LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. Those guys are big jackhammers. It'll be fun to see, but I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think there's any question, but I think it's impossible to pick against a team who just won the Super Bowl 12 months ago, gets Rob Gronkowski into the lineup, and they're worse. They're going to play better than they did in the last Super Bowl when they came back from 28-3 down. So I think they're hard to pick against, but I do think Philly has more than a chance to win this game.
You know, I heard you ask Greg Cosell about this when he was on the show with you yesterday, and that I was reminded of the two Bills games against New England. In both of those games, the Patriots impressed me with a lot of things, including their use of pace. They can go up tempo, they can go down tempo, and they use that sort of in a variable way to affect the game. They get what they want based on how fast paced they want to run their offense. That's a pretty big weapon for them.
That's right, and it's the way they've always been. If there's something that will work against you, they're going to do it, and they're going to execute it extremely well, even if it's something they haven't done in the past. Going no huddle, if they have to do that, they will do it. If they have to go heavy and go three tight ends and two backs to win this game and do it 60% of the time, they're equipped to do that. That's the really the beauty of a team that's been a dynasty for 17 years and they're in their eighth Super Bowl with the same quarterback and the same head coach. They have found more ways to win games than any team in the history of the NFL with the same players. They can change their identity from one half to the next half, completely do that. I've never seen a team be able to do that like they have. Almost every other team you can name does what they do, and they dare you to beat them doing what they do best. The Patriots beat you doing what you can't defend or hitting you where it hurts or making you play offense in a way that you're not good at. That's why the Patriots are in their eighth Super Bowl, and that's why Tom Brady is maybe the greatest quarterback of all time, because they're able to win any way they think is the best way to do that, and then they execute it flawlessly no matter what it is.
Steve, before I let you go, do you got a score for us, a prediction on a score for Sunday's game?
No, I think it's both teams are going to be in the 20s. I think it'll be either 21-29 for one team, 29-21 for the other team, or somewhere in there, and that's going to be the score of the game. I think both teams will be in the 20s. I think it's going to be a one-possession game, and I think somebody's going to have a chance to win it late. I don't know which team it'll be. Like I said, though, I have a hard time betting against the New England Patriots in their eighth Super Bowl, second one in a row, third out of the last 4 years. So I think the Patriots are the team you got to think has had the experience and the players that can do that.
I think you're right.
I think both teams, I know we're going to get into ours, but I think both teams will have a possession in the last 2 minutes of the game with an opportunity to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably true, and I think both teams will have a chance to win or lose it with those possessions. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be that close. I think it'll be a fantastic game. I really do.
All right. Hey, Steve, thanks for all of this week. Great work out there, you and producer Jay Harris. Safe trip home, and enjoy the game on Sunday. Thank you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Steve Tasker, producer Jay Harris, covering the Super Bowl. They've done outstanding work out there, Donald. I could read you the list of guests they've gone through, but it would blow you away. It's been so good.
And we don't have enough time.
We don't have enough time. And just guests. Just
They have, though.
And you know what? Steve just did a great job just a moment ago capturing kind of the feel of Minnesota, the cold feel of Minnesota. I think you might have been a little over the top of that, but it sounds like that's kind of the buzz that people are talking about. Like, it's really cold here, right?
I mean, if you turn on NFL Network, if you turn on ESPN, everybody's talking about, man, it's cold here. They finish out their interview with it's cold here, yeah. Especially you have so many athletes that aren't from
the cold part of the country. They're like, man, it is cold here. I'm ready to get up out of town tomorrow. I'm sure everybody there who is most athletes, entertainers, get out of town tomorrow, and they're back home, or Sunday morning, and they're back home for the game Sunday evening.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. It's cold there.
Because it's cold. But even when in the warm parts of the country, when the Super Bowl is in Miami, they still get out of town. But I think in Minnesota, people are like, man, I'm supposed to be leaving on Monday, but I think I'm going to leave right now.
Hey, let's talk about our predictions. Steve had his. I think I mentioned mine earlier when we did recap from the future. I've got the Patriots winning it like 27-21. I think it's going to be a good game, a close game. I'm intrigued by your thoughts on what both teams will have a possession in the last 2 minutes with a chance to win. Okay, that might happen. I just think New England's got a little too much and a lot more experience in these type of big games than the Eagles have. So I think New England will come out on top.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think that the Eagles will get the ball, and they will end up going up but leaving too much time on the clock and giving the Patriots back the ball. And the Patriots are going to get the ball under 2 minutes, and they're going to drive down the field, and they're going to score, and they're going to end up winning the game either 28-21 or 27-21. Somewhere.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good finish, though.
That is a great finish.
And then people second guess, how could they leave him with that much?
Exactly.
You can't give Tom Brady that kind of time in those timeouts.
Right. And Danny Amendola is going to get a big punt return.
Recap from the future. We're back in a moment here. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provided the Buffalo Bills. We had Doug Flutie on the show today. Well, Steve did. Steve Tasker talked to him out at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. And Doug Flutie talked to Steve Tasker about his time with the Buffalo Bills.
When I went to Canada and played for 8 years, it rekindled my confidence. I called a lot of my own plays and had success. And I think when I came to Buffalo, I trusted my own opinion and ideas on things a lot more. And a great group of guys. We had an excellent defense at that time, a good solid O-line. Thurman was still playing. Andre was still playing. Bruce Smith was still playing. Just a lot of fun. It was like the weight of the world had been lifted off my shoulders, and I was just having fun playing football.
Doug Flutie on his tenure in Buffalo. Also today on the show, Emmitt Smith, Pro Football Hall of Famer, talked with Steve Tasker out at the Super Bowl, and he gave us his prediction, Emmitt Smith, on who he thinks will win Sunday's game.
The Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Eagles are built tough internally, interiorly, as well as they got the guys out there in the secondary that can cover guys and run. They run very well defensively. They get turnovers. They put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They do stop the run. They have a lot of things that are very much needed in a game like this, especially when you're going up against a guy like Tom Brady. But then I like the offense, too, because they're balanced. They can run the ball effectively with LeGarrette Blount as well as Ajayi. They throw the ball pretty efficiently.
They spread it around.
And they spread it around.
Yeah.
And so having that type of balance can be a problem for New England.
Could be, but I think New England's going to win. You think New England's going to win? You think
it's
going to
be a close game, but it'd be a good game. I hope so.
Our Twitter poll, we got most people thinking it's going to be a close game, too, as we recap the Twitter poll. Most of you think the Patriots will win, but think it will be close, 38%. 34% of you say the Eagles will win a close one. 18% think the Patriots win big. 10% say the Eagles win big. We don't know, right? Nobody knows. That's what makes it a great game.
Nobody knows. What you do know is Tom Brady is great. And he's been playing in a lot of these.
And you know that, at least in Donald's world, there's going to be a monkey riding a motorcycle.
There's going to be a monkey riding a motorcycle.
Have you seen this, like a sneak preview or something?
I haven't. I've seen a commercial. It's a vision of a monkey on a motorcycle with a Dorito in his mouth. I have no clue where
that
came from, though.
I will flip. I'm off next week. Donald is here with the special
Nobody
co-hosts. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, Jay Harris, our producer out in Minnesota, along with Steve Tasker. Donald's back here Monday with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.